thought it was safe to turn on your radio.
Something fresh and exciting. Somebody with a sock personality that'll sweep people right off their feet.
Where is he? What is he up to? What other terrors can he unleash at will?
Starring your genial host, renowned writer, art collector, and teller of strange tales.
What fiendish power did he possess? Where did he come from? Who is this man?
Believe me.
It's the Shannon Burke Show on the Florida Man Radio Network for a Tuesday. Talk radio the way our founders intended. America. Congresswoman Sheila Jackson Lee told a crowd of her constituents gathered for the eclipse that, quote, the sun is a mighty powerful heat, almost impossible to get near. And the moon is made of gases. Day 1180. He put the Eric in America. Say hello to EZ.
What's up?
Good afternoon. Putting the heat in Heather.
Hello.
Double H is here. We'll do Heather Has Answers in the next hour. Dark History, top of the third. Our buddy Jonathan Morris from Morganic Meats. Top of the, right after that. And then your remarks in between. App is up and right. Well, we're ramping up to a 7 months away from an election here. And the lies about Trump by the media are ramping up again, of course. Now, and when I look at these, I look at them in three different components, the lies. One side is the crazy, whacked out black actress claiming that Trump's going to put black people in camps. You have some MSM, you know, Rachel Maddow did that in 2016. And then you have lies told by elected officials. And then you have perhaps the most damaging and dangerous lies are the ones that come out of, to some people, trusted mainstream media sources. And I've got a montage here I'm going to play of some that may have slipped by you, or maybe it'll awaken you a little bit, or to hear them all again if you're familiar with them. But when you look at it, the people that crow the most about misinformation and disinformation are the largest purveyors of it. Period. We never used to call it that. We just called it lies. Until they invented misinformation, we're like, wait, that's exactly what you guys do on a daily basis. Some are deliberately false, I think. And it's some of it, I think, that news organizations, they may just whip it up out of whole cloth. And they're, not little bitty lies either. Here's the
This is why the media cannot be trusted.
In 2018, NBC incorrectly reported that Trump stayed home at Christmas time, the first U.S. president since 2002 to skip visiting the troops.
Do you recall that?
Nope.
It's true.
The news went global, but it wasn't true. The media had jumped the gun. Trump and First Lady Melania left the White House Christmas Day to visit U.S. soldiers in Iraq.
He left on Christmas Day. Meaning, whatever the time difference is in Iraq, maybe he wasn't there Christmas Day, but he was there. He left on Christmas Day, went to see the troops.
On Thanksgiving, Newsweek made a similar error, falsely reporting that Trump was spending the holiday golfing at Mar-a-Lago in Florida. But the reporter had fabricated the golf story. Trump flew to Afghanistan on Thanksgiving to, again, be with the troops, making Trump the only president in U.S. history to visit troops in a combat zone both on Thanksgiving and so close to Christmas, though the press never reported that.
And because it was in Newsweek, people read Newsweek, and that's the story. What an asshole. He played golf instead of spending time with the troops on Thanksgiving. Maybe Newsweek printed a correction. I don't know that they did it.
No, I mean, they probably did, but it was buried in the very back under editor notes. And
CNN claimed Nancy Sinatra was not happy her father's song was played at Trump's inauguration. But Nancy Sinatra responded, "That's not true. I never said that. Why do you lie, CNN?"
I remember that because I remember Nancy Sinatra's response. "That's not true. I never said that. Why do you lie, CNN?" They left it alone. They never retracted it. They never went back and said, "Nancy claims she never said that," or they never quoted a source. They just left it there to do the damage that a lie like that can do.
Time falsely claimed Trump removed the bust statue of Martin Luther King from the Oval Office. TMZ reported Trump changed Black History Month to African American History Month, but Presidents Obama, Bush, and Clinton had all called it African American History Month. BBC, The Guardian.
That was just a, they just, A, the when they reported that he'd moved the Martin Luther King Jr. bust, it was literally, there was a door that was open that could see, they couldn't even see where the Martin Luther King bust was. And until someone else who was in the Oval Office said, "Well, it's right here behind the door, where it's always been, but maybe you saw it when the door was closed."
And others reported that Trump wasn't bothering to listen to a speech by Italy's prime minister.
I remember this one, too. One news shot showed Trump from one side, at an angle. You saw mostly the front of his face, but his left side. All the other guys listening to the speech interpreted had one of those white things that hang on your ear, you know, that they're kind of a crude, so your interpreter can. Yeah. And obviously Trump didn't want to put some nasty cup on his ear that had been on some foreign hoodlum's ear. And another media source shot him from the right side, and you can see he had brought his own inner earpiece and was wearing it. Blatant lie.
Since he wasn't wearing translation headphones, turns out he was wearing a translation earpiece. Newsweek and others reported Poland's first lady refused to shake Trump's hand, but later had to admit she...
Did you remember this? This was deliberate editing of this video. She comes up and... let me see who shakes whose hand first.
Italy's prime minister, since he wasn't wearing... First lady refused to shake Trump's hand, but later had to admit she did.
So... He shakes the president of Poland's hand, and he reaches out to shake his wife's hand, but she's already reaching for Melania, and she shakes Melania's hand before shaking Trump's hand. That's where their video ended. Right after she pulled her hand away from Melania Trump, she shook the president's hand.
CNN edited Trump's remarks to make it seem as though he didn't realize Japan builds cars in the U.S., but the full statement made clear that he does.
"You've been creating jobs for our country for a long, long time. Several Japanese automobile industry firms have been really doing a job."
CNN also edited...
Now you're going to remember this one. Remember they said, "Oh, careless Trump just dumped all his koi food in the pond."
The video to make it seem like Trump impatiently dumped fish food in the water at Japan's palace. But he followed the lead of Japan's prime minister.
That was so deceptive. People just remember him. "That water's probably going to be cloudy now. Those fish are being overfed thanks to Trump."
Newsweek claimed Ivanka Trump plagiarized one of her own speeches, which is...
Look, there's another... we don't have to play it all. It goes on and on and on. But point is, it's going on today, and it's going on in a big way. This is a headline from NBC News. "With violent rhetoric, Trump fights electric cars to defeat Biden in Michigan." So I'm thinking, wow. What violent rhetoric could he have used?
Say, did he tell people to peacefully protest outside of an EV plant?
No. he used two words. He used the word bloodbath, kill, and assassination. In this context, Trump warned the Biden's policies would lead to a bloodbath in the U.S. economy, kill the auto industry, and trigger an assassination of jobs. That's the violent rhetoric that NBC News believes Trump engaged in Michigan. Trump warned that Biden's policies would lead to a bloodbath in the U.S. economy, kill the auto industry, and trigger an assassination of jobs. Are they insinuating that, well, when Trump uses that language, you know, his MAGA people hear it and they start to create a bloodbath by killing and assassinating people?
Yeah, I think that's how they want to put it out. It's like, you know, Trump said he supports the nuclear family, too, and that is definitely he wants to bomb another country.
Trump wants to nuke families now out of nowhere. It's just, you know, I think most people know Michigan State Senator Mallory McMorrow, a Democrat, expressed her frustration how Trump and other Republicans have framed this issue. She does acknowledge, though, that electric vehicles remain too expensive and that there is still progress to be made in onshoring the EV supply chain and charging stations, and this shift is going to take some time. I mean, Trump and other Republicans have framed the issue how the issue should have been framed for the get-go. We're going to try this. We're not going to set any, you know, willy-nilly deadlines to not have gasoline stations open anymore. You know, we're going to begin the infrastructure of charging nationwide, blah, you know, electrical, whatever. But I think it's funny that that's the violent rhetoric. I don't feel like I'm ready to be violent after reading that. I love it after you used bloodbath and everyone got together and scoured the mainstream media's use of the word bloodbath and they couldn't use it enough. It was like one of their favorite words.
The term bloodbath.
That's absolutely a great. While Eric Adams is still blaming Greg Abbott for that city's migrant crisis, you see recently he dared Greg Abbott to spend a single night at a New York City migrant shelter. What is it? What?
What does that do? Is that supposed to show it's good? It's bad? It's
I mean, if they have what about the hotel? Can he stay in one of the hotels? And that's the shelter, technically, right?
Yeah.
Anyway, Abbott told him to shove it. But you're led to believe that it's these evil Republicans and their inhumane policies of, nabbing brown people off the street, oftentimes against their will, and forcing them onto buses and long, arduous drive into an unfamiliar climate where they have no food. Well, okay, here are the facts. Only 37,000 of New York City's estimated 150,000 illegals, or somewhere around 25%, came from the busing. Where'd the rest come from?
Because they wanted to go there. That's why the ones that got bused, the people that got on the bus were not forced in there by gunpoint. Oh,
well, if Abbott has only bused 37,000 there, and there's an estimated 150,000 there now, there's some other contributor to the crisis there, and now we know that Biden has been secretly flown into the country more than 386,000 aliens from their home airport in a foreign country. Some 33,000 of them directly to New York. That's 22% of the influx. The administration doesn't tell governors, doesn't even mention it. I mean, what is that? So, I mean, that is you've got Democrat governors. You've got a Democrat governor and a Democrat mayor here in New York State, in New York City, and they're bitching about what's going on from Greg Abbott, and your administration has called it inhumane, but I guess it's more humane to go and pick them up.
Yeah, they have to walk that whole way.
It's like a completely open border. And astounding records of crossings is not enough. We've got to do more to bring illegals into this country. We can't just rely on this open, porous border where we let damn near 100% of them come in, give them a cell phone and a credit card, and say, you know, enjoy America. That's not enough. 8 million in 3.5 years, almost 4 years, is not enough.
What are they doing with these programs where they're flying them in? Are they just flying them to that area, and is there a support system for them, or they were just like, okay, welcome to New York, good luck, guys. Here's a $50 and a bus ticket.
I don't know.
Because those programs are so secretive, I'm not 100% sure what they're doing with them.
Not only is he flown that much to New York City. He seems to have, and I don't know about Maria, what's her name over at Fox? I don't know about her numbers, but she claims that he has made it a point to deliver large amounts of illegals directly here to Miami.
What is this all about? Do you have any idea how many people have been flown in to various states? 326,000.
She's talking to Ronnie Jackson.
Illegal migrants were flown directly to Miami with no advance notice to the governor.
Yeah, I mean, that's like announcing an impromptu spring break is happening in Miami. You know, that's about what they get. You know, 300,000 to 400,000 kids, you know, drinking and partying and naked on the beach. They're, you know, I don't know what they're doing, but you just drop that on them with not a phone call.
That's not like spring break. That's even more than that's 300,000 of the people is three Dallas Cowboy sold out games just put out there.
Well, Maria, that tells you all you need to know about whether Joe Biden actually wants to shut down the border. He doesn't want to shut down the border. This is all by design. We've been saying this since the beginning, and that proves it right there. You know, if we shut our border down in Texas, which we're working hard to do that with our DPS and our National Guard, we are shutting our border down in Texas. It's going elsewhere. But if other states try to do that, he's just going to fly them in. I mean, he wants these migrants to come here. There's a reason behind all of this. You know, whether they think they're going to get them registered voter that think it's going to affect the census or the number of electoral votes that they're going to get in certain states. This is by design, and I think that, you know, it's unbelievable that he's getting away with this. We don't know the answer. You ask it.
I don't know that there's any recourse from the state. States have been fighting this maniac for, you know, since this crisis began. Arizona has to take down the shipping container wall they built. Nope, can't do that. We can't keep them out. Nope, you can't. Which just blows my mind. And that was just, who knows? It's been a secret up till now. It's somewhere within the Department of Homeland Security. They've okayed all these flights. So it looks like you're not going to stop it.
Except for Abbott down in Texas, who went out yesterday and put even more razor wire up.
Did he? Good.
Yeah.
A separate program brought in 420,000 from 100 countries at 8 land ports over the past year. Wow. Just keeps on going. You know, Donna, Brazil, do we have time for this? Yeah. I love, this is the new, I don't know if you call it a mantra or the latest psyop of Democrats. It's like to absolutely almost laugh in people's faces when they say the economy's really not that good. They're like, yes. And, you know, as far as messaging goes, she says, well, we need to be talking more. You know, and Biden should make some more public comments on the wars in the Middle East and the Ukraine. She said, yes, absolutely, they should. Then she went on to say, not just in Israel and Ukraine, we are a superpower. He's the commander in chief. Absolutely, he should speak out more. And also, we should cover what he's saying, because often when he speaks, nobody listens. Nobody listens.
Yeah, because we can't understand half the crap he's talking about.
I'm desperate to hear. I mean, he retold a story today, repeated a lie that he was the first one in his family to go to college. That's decades after it. That was one of the lies that derailed a presidential run. We've played that. I'll play it when we return. But maybe that's why nobody listens. You know what I mean?
Once you've told so many lies, people shut up. They shut off. They don't want to listen to you anymore.
The things that do ring through, though, the things that he does say that people instantly, I think, on both sides react in a different way, but they hear it, are things like MAGA Republicans are an existential threat to our democracy. You know, Trump and the Republicans, you know, that divisive stuff, the fiery Hitler-esque speeches and the red backlighting, you know, things like that, and just totally divisive. That comes through.
Yeah, but it doesn't accomplish anything. his base that he already is voting for is already upset against that, is already fine with him yelling that stuff. And the people that are not going to vote for him, they're already upset about it anyway. They don't care. So you have everybody down the middle is going, okay, but tell me what you're going to do about the economy. And don't tell me about the time that you played football or the fact that you rode enough Amtrak track that you could go to the moon and back.
He wasn't the first in his family to go to college. That would have been his grandfather, Ambrose Joseph Finnegan, who went to Santa Clara College in California, so, among other lies. He has participated in fewer sit-down interviews than the previous six presidents over the same time span. He only has done two primetime Oval Office addresses. Liberals like and Democrat strategists like Paul Begala are saying he needs to get in front of the camera more. And he says, don't worry about the gaffes. It's a built-in. The gaffes are built-in. We all know he's going to gaffe. He just needs to get out and talk more, and which means more gaffes, but he says ignore the gaffes because they're a built-in. Nice. When we return, although nobody that I know has seen this video yet, AOC has apparently been the victim of a deepfake. She's shocked. And it's affected her for, I'll tell you what she was doing. It's of a sexual nature in this deepfake when we return. It's the Shannon Briggs Show on the Florida Man Radio Network. Well, I want to tell you this life-changing story from AOC. But first, how about some drunk Pelosi?
Oh, I'm always for some drunk Pelosi.
And I'm talking, I don't know what time of the day this was filmed.
Well, I mean, if it's after our 11:30 martini brunch, then...
Listen to this.
So... Who benefits from it? Donald Trump. Who benefits from Donald Trump? Putin. There's, in my view, a connection there. So.
Her mannerisms are like, she's like, could she say that's been it's a deep fake in AI? It's not real.
I mean, she could try, but we're quite obvious of what a drunk Pelosi looks like by now.
So AOC has opened up about her own horrifying experience of becoming a victim of AI generated deep fake pornography. She says, quote, it's not as imaginary as people want to make it seem. So she claims that she was in a car with her aides talking about, legislation. And at the same time, she was just scrolling through X. She can't even have a discussion. She calls this a meeting.
Say, you're talking about legislation while you scroll through X.
Yeah, and she just happens to come across a shocking image. She says, "I came face to face with the with herself, an AI image of herself. I think it's AI. Who knows? I'll get to that in a minute. Performing a sex act." She said, "There's a shock to seeing an image of yourself that someone could think are real. As a survivor of physical assault, it adds a level of dysregulation." D-Y-S, regulation? "It resurfaces trauma. While I'm in the middle of an effing meeting. Put your phone down! Here's one thing. If you had been paying attention to the meeting instead of scrolling through Twitter, through X, you wouldn't have seen it. Now, the most shocking revelation is no one's seen it. If this was out there, it would have been viral as hell.
I think you would have at least seen a couple people. And also, was she tagged in it? Because that's the only way that would have really shown up other than just being random on her timeline. And if that's the case, people would have been able to see what was tagged to her.
Right. She says the mental. Here's what I get. She may have been giving a guy a honker or going down on a chick. The mental picture of her deep fake version placing her mouth over another's genitals stayed with AOC for the rest of the day. She said there are certain images that don't leave a person. They can't leave a person. She said it's not as imaginary as people want to make it seem. It's real. It has real effects, not just to the people that are victimized, but to the people who that see it and consume it. Once you've seen it, you've seen it. She says that digitizing this type of violent humiliation, well, she must have been really going after it.
Yeah.
Just hammer-handing some poor dude. that is akin to physical rape. I'm not real hard.
It's emotional. It's as far as you could stretch that.
Right. Right. It's got to be emotional. It's got to be shocking. I'm sure you're upset about it. Right.
But it's not akin to anything physical.
You don't have to have a rape kit done. You're not going to go to the ER and say you were just, you know. And then she goes on to say kids are going to kill themselves over this. She says it's a subjugation of entire people. When you're able to actively subjugate all women in society on a scale of millions at once digitally, it's a direct connection with taking their rights away. Well, can't men be victims of this as well?
Yes.
But only AI-generated porn with, you know, women matter? Who's the poor dude she was, you know, blowing?
Yeah. That guy, who knows who that guy was? Maybe he doesn't want to be anywhere near AOC. Now he's been digitally...
Now he's associated. His penis has been wrongfully associated with AOC.
Yeah, he's been digitally assaulted by AOC.
She says she repeatedly experienced online bullying, some of it featuring doctored photos since being elected, claims the use of sexually explicit deepfakes with her likeness is yet another way for her foes to try to force her out of politics. Then she says, guess what, mother effers? I'm not going anywhere. Deal with it.
Yeah, we don't care at this point. Yeah. You've become such a joke of your own. Even your own district hates you.
I'd miss her.
Yeah, I mean, she is becoming one of those that's such an absolute joke.
An absolute joke representative of that party. She, you know, there's the old jokes of that party are on their way out. The Maxine Waters, the Sheila Jackson Lees, I hope. By the way, I mentioned that in the opening. Man, she's a real, I didn't know she was, so well versed in astrophysics. She's speaking to a group of her constituents at a park outdoors somewhere in Texas, where they're about to watch the eclipse.
Provide unique light and energy so that you have the energy of the moon.
Hold on. We're going to start this over. I didn't think you at the very beginning.
Light and energy so that you have the energy of the moon at night. And sometimes you've heard the word full moon.
Have you heard that word full moon?
It's come up in conversations before.
Not sure what it means.
I was enjoying some night energy.
Sometimes you need to take the opportunity just to come out and see a full moon is that complete rounded circle.
What? You have got to be kidding me. That is insane.
Which is made up mostly of gases.
Yes, the moon is made of gases.
And it is a complete rounded circle.
And men have walked on it. Allegedly.
Well, that's why. It's definitely fake because there's no way they walked on the gases.
Wait till you hear about what she knows about the sun.
And that's why the question is why or how could we as humans live on the moon? The gas is such that we could do that.
The gases are such that we could do that.
The sun is a mighty powerful heat.
Uh-huh.
It is almost impossible to go near the sun.
Almost impossible to go near the sun? No kidding. It's impossible for me to stand, to be on a beach for more than an hour because I'm so fair-skinned.
The moon is more manageable, and you will see... in a moment, or not a moment, you'll see in a couple of years that NASA is going back to the moon.
There you go. Nothing really instills confidence in a voter knowing that a woman of that intelligence is representing them in D.C.
Did they all go? Did a bunch of people go to the same school of the Kamala Harris way of explaining something? Like, why all of a sudden do we have a bunch of politicians? I mean, Sheila Jackson Lee's a 74-year-old woman that just said the sun is hot.
It's almost impossible to get close to it. It's a mighty, wouldn't it be a mighty powerful heat?
Yeah.
Oh.
I mean, that's the type of way you would explain it to a 2-year-old. Yeah. Even a 2-year-old might look at you like, yeah, the sun's hot. I get it.
Is it gas? I saw it looks like rocks to me. I've seen pictures. It's dust and rocks. Where's the gas? Man, that sun. Don't even think about going near it because it's almost impossible.
And the moon is just a little bit better. I mean, you could get on the moon. It's not as impossible.
We can work with the gases there, but you don't want to. One of the where are we? Okay, one of the I think most rational people attribute to rising crime and blue states is this bail reform nonsense. Right?
Yes.
One good example is the Bronx gangbanger, Latin Kings gangbanger, Emmanuel Santiago, has been arrested 9 times this year. And every time. This guy has been involved in 31 domestic incidents, ranging from assaults to death threats against women. Repeatedly been let go on NMR, non-monetary release. Even after he's rearrested on a bunch of warrants for ditching required court appearances, he gets released.
What? You mean the being able to be non-bail because you say I'm definitely going to court?
Oh, 90% of them come back. Absolutely. Yeah. So that even adds insult to injury there because he's rearrested on a bunch of warrants for not showing up to court appearances for other crimes, and then they let him out again to not show up for that court hearing. He's one of tons of them people in the New York area that this no bail system is set free time and time again. Rape in the Bronx has soared 175%, felony assault by 18%, grand larceny by 70%, all major crimes by 27%. Yet people still believe that cash bail is the right thing to do because, among other things, you know, it bail obviously disproportionately affects, you know, blah, 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 fill in the blank. Study in Harris County, Texas, conducted prior to recent changes to bail practices, there found that people jailed while awaiting trial were 25% more likely to plead guilty than similarly situated individuals who were released. People who were held for even a few days before posting bail face consequences like losing their job or custody of their children.
Yeah, but
that's what happens.
Broke
when you,
the law.
I know. They say it's also expensive to keep people in jail. I don't know that I believe this figure, but in New York City, I do believe it because it's New York City. They claim that to incarcerate a single person per day in New York City costs $1,525. I can whittle that down. So that's it's all good. You know, they can be released on their own recognizance. Which serves as a promise that they'll return to court. It's a promise when they claim that 90% of them return to court. Well, that's not exactly true. It has crime before we're taking in 2019 when the old bail laws the crime had been falling for 27 years in a row, right? Under the new bail laws, by January 2020, more than 2,000 career criminal repeat offenders were released from city jails. They had an average of 12 prior arrests and 7 prior convictions. 2.5 months later, before COVID, the crime in the city rose 34% over the same period in 2019. They released almost every single defendant charged with drug dealing, theft, car theft, burglary, street theft, shoplifting, every one of them out of jail. And it took weeks for the crime to go up by double digits. It just doesn't work. In 2019, when bail reform was passed, legislator expanded a program called supervised release, right? It's called SR. And they renamed it non-monetary release to take people that would have been held on bail and release them out of the street without any with a few conditions. In 2019, there were 5,133 city defendants that were put on SR. 39% of them were re-arrested while their case was pending. In the first 9 months of 2021, there were 10,062 NMR participants, 40% rearrested while they're out on pretrial. They said there was no change in the rearrest rate. Of course there was. And they called it a success. Success! Well, the hard numbers show a different story. 166 of the participants got rearrested each month. In 2021, that number soared to 445 each month, including more than 300 felonies each month, because judges were now required to release more people with more serious, extensive criminal records. Exactly the type of people that can't wait. That crime is the only thing they can do. So, I mean, I believe states' rights and a lot of the federal government should get out of things. But, I mean, you can't just run a major city like that with a revolving door in jail.
Yeah, and then expect
it's a risk.
Government funding to help out because you have all these issues going on.
Or just, I've never heard anything like it. And the numbers don't lie. That you add 150,000 migrants to the package.
Yeah, and the numbers, they don't, they talk, numbers are down. We do this. But a lot of those people are repeat offenders too.
Right.
So if you were to take them off the street, those numbers would go down even more because they wouldn't commit 4, 5, 6, 7 crimes while they're on their their release from the last time they were arrested.
And look, if they can't come up with the money, they get a bondsman. If their bondsman will issue the bond, they pay 10% of it. And if they don't go back to court or they're rearrested, they lose their bond. You can't,
And then we got to send dog after that.
Yeah, we got to send dog to bounty hunter out there to track your ass down. A lot of talk about Eclipse talk, believe it or not, on The View. And as you can imagine, they've got a completely different, some of them. It almost hurts to hear them blame climate change for the eclipse and the recent earthquakes. And did you know that we're expecting a lot of cicadas?
Mm-hmm, yes.
Leaving, we've got a solar eclipse. We've got the earthquake.
She ran down the hallway.
The rapture is here.
The rapture's here. And then also, I learned that the cicadas are coming.
Cicadas.
Although I love
who calls them cicadas? She just read that word, didn't know what they were. Cicada.
Yep, cicadas.
That reminds me of the time when I was walking through a bike week event, and a little Mexican food stand was up ahead, and might as well go up there. My wife's reading the stuff, like tacos, burritos. She goes, "What's a cansado?" And I looked at it again and said, canned soda?
First time in
two different kinds of cicadas
are coming.
The good cicadas and the bad cicadas.
But for the first time in many, many years.
No, every 17 years this happens.
Well, that's not what I read, but maybe. But,
she has to defer because Whoopi's like the grand poobah there, the boss. She asked it of her, and this means none of them know what the F they're talking about. She didn't know what it's called. It's a cicada, not a cicada. And Whoopi doesn't know her ass from a hole in the ground, because, yes, every other 17 years, the one brood or the other brood emerges. Every 221 years, both broods emerge at the same time. So they don't know. They don't even know what they're talking.
Better.
Listen to it.
In a way,
say all those things together would maybe lead one to believe that, you know, either climate change exists.
That's more
or something
point.
Is really
or the
going
earth is returning.
Earthquakes are not at the mercy of climate change. It's underground. No.
It's underground.
Yeah, under earthquakes. Getting warmer doesn't cause earthquakes.
Happens and the eclipse, they've known about the eclipse coming because eclipses happen.
Leaving, we've got...
And I love Whoopi's scientific, we knew about eclipses coming because eclipses happen.
Eclipses happen.
I don't know how people back in watch the, that show.
Me neither. But, you know, tens of thousands of years ago, there were civilizations that believed that an eclipse was a dragon eating the sun. This is not, I mean, after all these years in the study of, you know, astrophysics and astrology, other generations from now are going to look back on statements like that and go, man, these people were stupid, weren't they?
They thought it was climate change. But Joy Behar knew it wasn't because it's underground earthquakes.
Earthquakes underground.
I wouldn't turn that on for my cats. I would be worried it would scramble their brains.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
You see, Charles Barkley doesn't like you if you were out watching the eclipse. Terrible. He said, well, y'all, some of them losers standing outside watching that eclipse today. His co-host said, they're not losers. Ernie Johnson, he goes, yeah, they are. Hey, we all seen darkness before. Stop it. We've all seen darkness before. Stop it. Ernie says, come on, Chuckster, don't hate on the eclipse. And he said, they're not losers, Johnson said. Barkley said, yeah, they are. Hey, we've all seen that darkness. Don't, and then Smith goes, not in the daylight.
Sometimes they're like male view going
it's
on.
Hysterical. Here's a more eclipse updates. The Google searches for "ow, my eye hurts" spike amid the solar eclipse. they saw large parts of the U.S. They said, we don't need to tell people don't to stare directly into the sun. That hasn't stopped people from apparently doing just that without lenses. And the Google has taken note. The trends noticed specifically terms like my eyes hurt, why do my eyes hurt, around 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern.
That's spiked as they could follow it region to region as the eclipse was reaching totality in different areas. Just there's times where I question my hope for humanity. That I mean, we had weeks to say, please do not stare directly into the sun.
And so many people did. There's also a New York Post article written by a doctor. No, it's not a doctor. Of how you could tell if you did damage your eyes by looking at the eclipse.
Are your eyes dry? Do you have a weird ring when you close your eyes?
Yeah, when you close your eyes, do you see a negative of a crescent at all? Looks like a negative of a photograph? They say, you know, it's not really obvious if you have permanent damage on exam at first. But they come in with a complaint and they tell you that I'm seeing a spot in my vision. That's all you get. But over the course of the next couple of months, they come back. You can see where it's degraded the retina and it's degraded the photoreceptors in the back of the eye. If that happens, that eye could be lost forever. That's why you don't look directly into the sun at any time. I mean, why would you look up at an eclipse? Because do you think, well, it's going to be partially eclipsed. You're not getting 100% of the sunlight, buddy.
Yes, they do.
That's simple math, friend. Is that what they think?
Yes. They're like, oh, well, it's blocked. There's no sun there. I can look directly at it.
400 couples from 24 states went to a football field in Arkansas and got married. I hope they do a Where Are They Now in like 10 years.
Like, is there some sort of weird eclipse magic caused a bunch of them to get divorced?
If they're all together, you know, in 10 years, that's the hottest new trend. Just get married during an eclipse.
You only have to wait, 20 more years?
Why would you drive so far from or fly or whatever to get married under an eclipse?
People are weird.
Yeah, that they are. All right. When we return, we'll get to Heather Has Answers. And the eclipse also caused God to communicate with a crazed woman who just went up and down I-10 and shot people in Florida. Random cars.
Is that all he had to do that day?
God?
Yeah. He just was like, all right.
I'm busy with this eclipse. This we just go shoot some here, people yeah. up. And I've been working on this eclipse for like 100 years. I got to pull it off. And a new way to release some anger. It sounds like hooey, but I'm going to try it anyway. Hang on. It's the Shannon Burke Show on the Florida Man Radio Network. I don't know about this. There is a festival in Japan called the Festival of Hakidashisara. Hakidashisara, whatever. Visitors to the Hayoshi Shrine in Kyosu smash small discs representing things that make them angry to let go of their frustrations. Right? You know, like smashing a plate against the wall.
Yeah, we have some of those here in Central Florida, too.
Yeah, a room you go in and beat stuff up. Yeah, you go
there and beat up stuff with a baseball bat.
Japanese scientists have now proven that this thing, this practice can work in everyday life. If you write down your irritations on paper and then destroy the paper, they say it quells your furious feelings. They said, we expect that our method would suppress anger to some extent. That's Nobuyuki Kawai from Nagoya University. You've probably heard of him. However, we are amazed that anger was eliminated almost entirely by this practice. They set out to trigger angry feelings in a group of students. They're invited to write opinions on social issues. Like smoking in public, should it be outlawed, blah, blah, blah. Their volunteers were told their opinions would be evaluated, but instead, researchers scored everyone low on intelligence, logic, and rationality to make sure the students were even more angry. So, each person's work also included an insulting comment, like, I cannot believe an educated person would think like this. I hope this person learns something while at this university. After handing back the negative comments, they measured the anger levels and asked them to write down their thoughts on the feedback they received and then destroy it. They found that it reduced their anger almost immediately. They say a lot of techniques like, and I didn't know about this, if you're angry to take a cold shower, I don't know about that. That makes me even more mad.
Definitely, I'd be more upset after doing that.
You should hear me screaming when Kim runs a load of laundry while I'm trying to take a shower. I literally have come out of the shower and said, are you deliberately turning on the hot water on and off while I'm trying to take a shower in here? Because that's what it feels like. This could be applied in the moment, right then, on the spot. Write it down, the source of anger, like you're taking a memo, and then throw it away. I'm not sure I'm buying that.
Buy this.
I'll tell you what. If I could, now destroying things has made me feel better in the past immediately, and then regretful later when I realize I've destroyed a laptop or a printer or something like that.
Yeah, there's been a lot of printers at the bottom of a pool, from my understanding.
Yeah, my pool guy's really tired of the toner in the filter. But this seems, you know, if you write it out, I think if you wrote it out, especially if you're mad at a person, you wrote out your personal thoughts. He's no good. And then I think the manner in which you destroy it is important. Putting it through a shredder, I don't know, lighting it on fire, covering it in some lighter fluid and put it in your barbecue, maybe? I don't know. It's cheaper than going to a therapist, that's for sure. I'm not knocking therapists. The DOJ has said, no, we will not be turning over the recorded interview with Special Counsel Herr You won't hear the audio. Well, we might still, but reading it is probably done enough damage, don't you think?
Yeah, that's why I don't understand why they're so intent on not releasing it, other than it would be worse.
The Justice Department said they will not produce a subpoenaed audio recording from that her interview. And that puts Merrick Garland at risk of being held in contempt of Congress. But as we all know, Democrats that are held in contempt of Congress suffer no consequences other than being held in contempt. Comer wants to see it. Jim Jordan threatened to hold Garland in contempt. They are supposed to hand it over last month. It's public property, is it not?
Maybe not yet, because it's being used in an investigation still.
Well, we have the report.
Yeah, but they could argue that the audio is still being part of the investigation. They released the report willingly, so.
DOJ met with the deadline, did meet with the deadline to respond, but notified lawmakers in the response that they're not going to get it. The department is concerned that the committee's particular focus on continuing to demand information that is cumulative of information we already gave you. What the president and Mr. Herr's team said in the interview indicates that the committee's interests may not be in receiving information in service of legitimate oversight of investigatory functions, but to serve political purposes that should have no role in the treatment of law enforcement files. Meaning, we know they're going to be used to make Biden sound like an old doddering idiot. No, we just don't think that's fair.
Yeah, I mean, that's the only reason they would hold it back, is because they're afraid that it's going to sound worse.
They just they had a subpoena to get the transcript right before he was scheduled to testify publicly last month. The DOJ produced for the committee's two redacted transcripts. They did not produce the audio recordings and interviews. Comer and Jordan said the committee specifically prioritized the production of those audio recordings saying the Biden administration does not get to determine what Congress needs and does not need for the oversight of the executive branch. That makes a lot of sense. You know, we're oversight of the, executive branch. We want this material, and the executive branch says, no, you don't. No, we don't want you to use it. Well. They said they're going to respond to justice pretty soon. You know how these wheels turn slowly, and you know exactly what it is. It's going to sound, it'll be a lot of low mumbling. And
tell me, what was it again?
I think, you know, when they chastise her for the way he wrote the report, I mean, he could have done more damage than he did, and he was truthful, and he refused to report it, to change it, to rewrite it, more language more suitable for something like that. Well, Heather.
Hello.
How are you?
I am fantastic.
Did you enjoy your eclipse watching yesterday?
I did. I was running out when y'all weren't calling on me. my box.
With your little Cocoa Puff box?
Yes.
I must say the glasses were much better.
They were, but the box worked.
Yeah, I'm upset at the amount of glasses littering I've seen around this area. I've seen three or four of those things around the building already.
They really do expire, because I've held on to some since the 2017 eclipse at my house. I don't want to put them on and burn my... Well, I'm not going to see the next one anyway.
I don't know if they work. I mean, if they expire.
Yeah. Write us at heatherhasanswers@gmail.com. heatherhasanswers@gmail.com, and we'll try to help.
All right. My family has been Jehovah's Witnesses since I was born, and I probably believed it at first, but as I grew older and matured, I realized how much I do not believe it, and frankly, how much I'm against it. I want to leave as soon as possible, but I have some obstacles first. First of all, my entire family and all my friends are Jehovah's Witnesses, and if I leave, then they won't be allowed to talk to me at all, and I practically lose everyone. Second, I'm still living with my parents. I am over 18, But they have full access to stuff like my insurance, my bank accounts, etc. And if I leave, I'm scared they'll kick me out and take control of my stuff. I have a job currently, but I make nowhere near enough to get an apartment, let alone a car. It's just a tough situation because I know this religion is not for me, but I lose everything when I leave, and I'm just stuck not knowing what to do. Thank you, Jimmy in Ocala.
Man, that's rough. they're very... Those are the people... on the bikes, right, with the slacks and the tie and the white shirts, pretty much.
I'm not sure.
That's, you're in a tough spot. I'm not going to call Jehovah's Witness a cult, but, you know, other cultish religions behave the same way. And in my, this is my opinion, that's any, there should be no religion that, throws out a person that is of another religion or of another belief. You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. If somebody from another religion wanted to come in and sit on my church or sit in to watch my church just to learn something, there's nothing wrong with that.
I'm not clear on all the other Jehovah's requirements. That's, I know it's a real, you have to, what do they call that, going door to door? Proselytizing? They got to, or I don't know what they call that.
Yeah.
You got to do a certain couple of years of that.
Hand out so many pamphlets.
Yeah. I just answered the door nude.
Quota.
You have to give them that Watchtower pamphlet.
Yeah. Yeah. There's, but there's other...
Do you seriously answer your door nude when they show up?
If I know that it's them, for sure, yeah.
I've answered the door and talked to them. I've just hung out with them for a little while.
Yeah, I've talked to them for a while.
And I always go like, yes, now tell me how this benefits me.
I just ask about the Jehovah's. I'm like, what's it like, man? You guys get to go, you know, to see movies? Do you watch TV? What are you... We're just here to talk about... I'm like, all right. I'm not knocking. Do your thing. You're the freest country in the world. But this guy ought to be able to...
if he doesn't want to believe in it, he shouldn't have to.
What does it mean he doesn't believe in it? The specific religion? I don't know what it... You know, is it any, I don't know exactly what it is. Jehovah's Witnesses.
Yeah, it's Mormon. Mormonism.
Oh,
so,
all right. I do know what it is.
Okay.
That's... unfortunately, my friend, I hate to tell you this, but you'll be excommunicated. Your friends will all drop you. And but I'm going to tell you... There's plenty of people out here outside of Jehovah's Witness that are, you know, fine enough friends for you. Just, you know, maybe find a church. I don't know if he totally lost any belief.
Yeah, it sounds like he's just done with it. Like
all
he's been in it
faith.
His whole life. This right. isn't the religion for him. He hasn't said he's not religious.
Well, maybe he ought to dip his little toe into some other stuff.
Right, but I think also it's the whole, he's an adult now and he has to start acting like an adult. So he's going, when his parents find out he doesn't want to be in it, they may make him move out. He's got to have a better job. He's got to have money saved.
Yeah.
He needs a car.
Don't just, then I, if I was him, I'd play the game for a while.
Yeah. I mean, that's,
get a job, you know, save up some money,
maybe find
a room. Yeah. So what, a bank account they don't know about.
Problem is very difficult to do in those type of religions. The same as the Mormons, the Jehovah's Witnesses, the Amish, they all are such a close, concealed, tight community, mainly because they're dying off. They're not really improving.
Yeah,
they're shrinking rapidly.
Membership is not going well.
So the fact is, they're even more intent on making sure family members stay in that bubble. That's why a lot of them do live at home. They don't get out because the fact that they would have to go get a job that they can't, that would go against certain religious stuff. And that
I was
a fight
really
in that, and
interested to hear more from this guy. I wish you'd write us again. Like, I mean, does he know what life is like outside Jehovah's Witness? Does he, you know, has he ever seen, listened to a Bruno Mars album, or, you know, seen a Denzel Washington movie, or does he know The Sopranos? The love of God.
Probably not.
He's missing out on us so much.
Yeah, it's unfortunate there are, but I do believe there's groups and things like that that are, you know, start looking for people that have left the church.
Ooh, that's a great idea.
There are support groups for that if you can get online. I know you can probably go to, Reddit has it, and other places.
Are Mormons allowed to use the internet?
This guy doesn't want to be a Mormon.
Oh, he's,
so yes.
I guess he emailed us. Yeah. So yeah.
No, Heather got that. A pigeon dropped that off to her.
Written on parchment paper with a quill pen.
But I'm sure he could find some groups that would help him out, and they would probably take him in and get him on his feet.
Right. That's a good. I guarantee you there's groups like that. Certainly don't go asking around your friends if they want to join you because they'll just rat you
completely out.
They will rat you out. Wow, that's a shame. All his family and all of his friends are going to be just, it's going to be tough for him.
Yeah.
That's the way that they keep people in those religions.
Well, look, I'm all for it. If it's not for you, it's not for you. And you're an adult now. You can make your own decisions. Drive down to Orlando and we'll take you out for your very first beer.
Yes, that sounds great.
Okay. Wait till you discover whiskey. It's going to blow your mind.
Be gentle. All right. Video games are ruining my life. I'm 27 years old, married with a child, and I've been playing shooter games like Call of Duty since I was a teenager, and I feel like it's taking over my life. I play on average 2 to 3 hours a day, every day, and 4 to 6 on the weekends. It's very rare that I go a day without playing. I think about gaming the entire day. I watch YouTube videos about it daily. Even when I go to the grocery store, for example, I'm in a hurry so that I can maximize the time I play. Many times, playing feels like a chore rather than a genuine enjoyment because online shooters can be very stressful and not relaxing. But I feel so confined by this addiction, and I can't imagine life without it. What should I do about this? Does Gamers Anonymous even exist? Gavin in North Florida.
Wow, 27.
This is so common. I dated so many guys in my 20s that all of them were gamers.
Really?
Yeah.
I wonder if he's into anime, too, because the gamer guys like the anime, too.
Probably.
I think I've watched a grown man, a friend of mine, I don't think he does anymore because he remarried, had a room in his home that was just dedicated to his gaming. He played World of Warcraft. He had 2 32-inch screens. He had a lazy boy that he sat in while he played. And he had this weird, you know, keyboard and mouse thing and headphones and the headset and a bell that he could ring so that his wife could bring him food.
No.
And he would urinate in a Gatorade bottle.
Gross.
Yeah, that's too much.
Outside of that, a totally normal guy, you know, owns a business, runs a business, real nice, super nice guy. I don't know that he still plays it, but he was a you know, grown man in his 40s.
I will say it is tough. I know some people that it is an addiction. I mean, I play them, but I haven't turned on my PlayStation in about a week and a half, 2 weeks
and when
now.
Do you talk to other people playing the game? Is that what he's talking about, these other shooters? He's online?
That is
them?
A lot of it is a community for people. A lot of the shooters you can mic up and you can talk to your teammates. You can talk to other people. A lot of people run as squads where they literally only join up with their friends and then they go play. So there is a sense of a friendship, of camaraderie that's going on. That
my friend did tell me sometimes it's frustrating when he gets his ass kicked and then like some 12-year-old comes on his headphones and laughs at him.
Yeah, I mean, when you're playing those type of things, there's a good chance that a 9-year-old is going to call you the N-word.
What, okay, is there a benefit from it? Is it relaxing? This guy didn't sound like he relaxes.
He's not relaxed.
It sounds to me like you're tense. You just want to kill and shoot, which can be fun. But what does he get out of it other than feeding an addiction?
Yeah, it's an addiction thing. It's a sense of winning. It's if you're semi good at it, you're feeling accomplished.
And people do. There is professional gamers out there.
There's a ton of them. It's
so that's
huge.
That's not his goal. Apparently, maybe not.
I think some.
But if he can make it into a job, his wife might be happier.
Yeah, but the amount of people that actually succeed at that is very, very low.
Is he married? Like, do we know that he is married?
Married, has a kid.
And a kid. I wonder. Tell that guy on the texter to call, will you? Do you see him?
Me?
Yes.
I will in just a second.
Okay.
I turn the screen back on.
When we're done.
I have one more.
Let's hear it.
Okay. Hey, Heather, EZ, and Shannon Burke. For context, I'm a man in my mid-20s, brown hair, athletic build, and grew up in Texas. My girlfriend is hot, tall, blonde, green eyes, grew up in Florida. We met through Instagram. She's an Instagram influencer or model, but not the naked or twerking on camera for likes kind of Insta model. She has 50,000 followers, which is a lot, but it doesn't make her internet famous. We started dating during COVID and met in real life in 2021. Our relationship was going well. I was working as an assistant in my dad's glass company while studying business management on the side so that I could take over. She told me she was an Instagram influencer, and I believed her. She had a huge fan base, averaging 14,000 likes per post. We weren't staying together, but met when we could. Last year, she came over for a sleepover. We had a great night. Later on, she fell asleep, and her phone started buzzing. I checked it for her, and it was some dude calling. I didn't care, not my phone, until she unlocked her phone so I could set up a joint account for us. He doesn't say what kind of joint account. I'm not going to lie. I went through her phone and found 20, 30, 40-year-olds, 40-year-old dudes asking for a night and some cash sent to her after they said that. Looked deeper and found out that she has an OnlyFans account. I got mad, confronted her about it, and she says it's for her hair clients and a bunch of crap that I really didn't buy because the dudes were flirting with her on her phone.
Is she working old dudes for cash or OnlyFans stuff?
It sounds like maybe. We got into a fight and I kicked her out that night. A few days later, she threatened to send our intimate videos to my college and family and friends. And I'm scared she's going to do that. And that my parents are going to find out, and they're very strict, and it could ruin our relationship. And when I mean relationship, my dad could literally kick me out of the will, and my whole life was studying to take over his company. I'm stuck with her right now. I can't leave because she's blackmailing me. Is there any way out of this mess? I cannot have that video get out. Ricardo in Clearwater.
A, if it got out, she'd be guilty of a felony.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. She'd go straight to prison. Yeah. Straight to jail. Right to jail. He might want to remind her that. Yeah. If any of it gets out to anybody, she doesn't have his consent, and it's a pretty serious crime here in Florida, I believe. Or yeah, in Florida.
Yep.
He may want to remind her of that. But I'd be a little more. I mean, is that the only job she has? She said for hair clients. Maybe she's a hairdresser as well.
I am not sure about her jobs.
Listen, I'm not.
He's just concerned about his future.
Yeah. So he doesn't approve. He doesn't buy her OnlyFans. Would he be cool if she was like a Brandy Love? She did that, you know, made a ton of dough, has a wonderful relationship with her husband, and he's supportive of it, and they get what it is, and together they have a fabulous life.
It sounds like he just really doesn't want his girlfriend showing off herself for money.
Yeah. Well, that's the case, then he's not cool with that. And, no.
I mean, how bad is this video that he thinks his parents are going to get upset about? I mean, if it's just them having
just
relations.
Having sex. He's 27. How old is he? No, it's not the 27-year-old. That's the
mid-20s.
Mid-20s. They're very strict, though, and religious. I mean, what could be more wholesome than, you know?
Yeah, I mean, he's in a marital bed, so I don't know. Not saying he's married, but...
She slept over once.
Yeah, I mean, Daddy, this chick is blackmailing me, and she may send you a picture. She may send you a video. Don't open it.
That means I'm opening it. Yeah. You got my word, son. Don't worry about it.
Unless you, Pop, unless you want to see me raw dogging it, don't open that video.
Yeah, he's in a kerfuffle. But I would remind her, he might go so far as to look up revenge porn laws and the punishment thereof. They're very strict, and she'd be in a lot of trouble. But she's super hot, he said.
Yeah.
I mean, he has his standards. If he doesn't want her doing OnlyFans and she lied to him and she's getting tips from 50-year-old guys, then, yeah, I mean, he has to make his choice. And he decided to kick her out.
Yeah. And she wants back in. Oh, yeah, maybe he'll come, keep things cool.
Well, he says he's stuck with her right now, so I guess they came to some sort of agreement.
Well.
But she is blackmailing him still, which is, like, not okay.
Yeah. Well, maybe he gets some revenge booty out of the deal. I don't know. You know what I mean, Heather?
Yeah, okay.
Heather has answers at gmail.com. Heather has answers at gmail.com. If we can help. Thank you, Heather.
Thank you.
When we return, I had something specific in mind, but now it's slipping my mind. You've heard us talk about Tiffany Henyard. She is the world's worst mayor in a town called Dalton, Illinois. She calls herself super mayor, but the city had plenty of money in the coffers. Now she's got new boobs, new hairdo. Her house has been redone, and they're broke. Something is amiss, but the city has hired a very special and talented person to investigate her.
A gruff, cigar-smoking, overcoat-wearing detective special.
We'll tell you her name next. It's the Shannon Burke Show on the Florida Man Radio Network. If you are on the council in a town, this is a smaller town, it's not a big town, and you've elected this mayor, Mayor Tiffany Henyard, who proclaimed herself a super mayor. She depleted the funds of the city and taken a trip to a taxpayer funded trip to Las Vegas. She said it was for economic development reasons. Failure to report anything relative to potential economic development, other events that took place in Vegas. The Board of Trustees, upon her return from Vegas, decided they were going to have her investigated. They want a thorough investigation into the trip, including expenditures, allegations, misconduct, and internal investigations. She also faced allegations she misspent some COVID-19 relief funds, hired contractors without, a bunch of stuff. So, if you want that, your mayor investigated, you want to get the best, right? You don't want somebody that knows the ins and outs of this political activity and this particular office of mayor. And for $400 an hour, they have hired former Chicago Mayor Lori Lightfoot.
I so badly want this TV show. I want Lori Lightfoot PI.
She says, as someone who's made a good governance the cornerstone of my career in public service, I recognize that maintaining the trust of those you serve and making decisions in their best interests is essential. Whoa. We watched your when you were mayor. Well, I mean, these people are in Illinois. They should be really familiar with what a bad mayor she was. Well, maybe a crappy mayor will be able to tell if the other mayor's crappy. What if she comes back and goes, oh, everything looks fine. She's good. I didn't see anything wrong with the work, and I would have done everything she did just the same way. Give me my $400 an hour.
All right,
$400 an hour?
Let me tell you the first mistake you made. You got caught. That was your big mistake.
I've written a few notes here for you you to follow for your future endeavors. I need $400 an hour from you, too, by the way. Wow. The village board voted to hire her yesterday night in an unofficial meeting being held at an off-site park district facility rather than the Dalton Village Hall. She's going to provide periodic updates to the board on the investigation and the misconduct, lavish spending, providing a comprehensive report of its conclusion at $400 an hour. That's more than a lot of attorneys get.
Yeah, I mean, that's impressive that she got that. Where did they get the money for that?
Yeah.
They're already broke from the fact that she's blowing through all their money. And they're like, oh, let's put a fund together and get Lori Lightfoot in here.
They say the resolution also states that the board later learned of serious sexual assault allegations made by an unnamed Dalton employee against a board trustee while in Vegas and that Henyard and others in her administration have gone to great lengths to cover it up and hide the alleged sexual assault misconduct and not reporting it. Us figuring out what happened in Las Vegas is extremely important for the residents of Dalton. Man, way down in Vegas. It doesn't stay in Vegas anymore. You're sitting in an investigator. But, I mean, and Henry's probably going, whew, thank God.
No, she's going to be worried. They brought in the Lori Lightfoot to investigate her.
Was Lori Lightfoot an attorney, I'm guessing?
I guess. I mean, it just seems like a weird thing to...
$400 an hour is the part that, I guess that's the going rate for an investigation, right? These special investigators get all kinds of dough.
That just seems like such a a scam.
You know what it is all inside skinny. Because someone in the town in the village. What do you call it? The commissioners or whatever. Someone knows Lori Lightfoot. Then they also know she's recently out of a job. She's in the system.
Well, Mayor Tiffany was like, all right, you can investigate me, but the only person I'll be investigated is by the best.
The very best. Or maybe the fix is in with Tiffany and Lori Lightfoot, and they, you know, look, girl, you need to go in and apply for this investigative job. We cover each other's tracks. $400 an hour, she's going to make more than the mayor of Dalton. Well, you call this one easy. Like day one, the Caucus of African American Leaders has unanimously voted to ask that when the Francis Scott Key Bridge is rebuilt, it no longer bears the name of the author of the national anthem, who is white
and racist.
The consortium of civil rights groups, including the NAACP, National Coalition of 100 Black Women, and others voted to recommend the change in the Key Bridge because it honors a man who enslaved people and wrote lyrics that scholars have found demean black people. Caucus is now calling on the governor and the Maryland General Assembly to rename the bridge after the late U.S. Congressman Farron J. Mitchell, the first African-American from Maryland elected to the U.S. House of Representatives.
Yeah, it was just too easy. Another chance to get rid of a relic of our time, to get just erase some more past, just get the name off that bridge.
I wonder if Francis Scott Key's name is on high schools, I would imagine, around the country, or
things. Sure, there's probably some, but I'm sure they were just like, oh, I mean, there's so many of us in Baltimore that are, discriminated against every day when we have to cross that dirty racist bridge. So we can cleanse ourselves by changing the name of it now.
Boy. But as an attorney, Francis Scott Key helped black Marylanders sue for their freedom prior to emancipation. He abhorred the thought of free black citizens in America, but he later abhorred the thought of free black citizens in America so much that he fought to send them to Liberia. Well, let's look. At least it's not a George Floyd bridge, you know?
No, I mean, they're going to put a bunch of names. It's not going to be the one. Nobody's going to pick the one name. They'll throw other names out there.
But there's going to be black people, right? Or...
Yeah, I mean, it's a political figure.
How about a non-political figure? Like, I don't know.
Get the Ray Lewis Memorial Bridge.
Let's get to remarks, shall we?
All right.
From the Florida Man Radio app and powered by Morris Family Farms and Morganic Meats. Podcasts, commercial-free, in the archives there of this show goes way back. I don't know how far back. A little button at the bottom that looks like a microphone will give you 30 seconds. There are limits and there are rules. Here we go. Come on.
So I'm sure I'm one of many yesterday's show guys for today. So Morgan Wallen throwing chairs off the top of a building or Morgan Wallen throwing N-bombs around. Our priorities are screwed up. Just like nobody's worried about that $30 million from that heist. I went to make a credit card payment in cash the other day for a couple $100. Even though they scanned my card, they wanted to scan my license. So they're more worried about tracing a couple $100.
Wow.
Pee-doo-pee-doo.
That's bad.
Please, for the love of God, will no one explain the Streisand effect to AOC? I need her to figure this out all on her own.
What's the Streisand effect?
I believe that's the one that kind of like when you put it out into the world, you'll see more and more of it.
Oh.
The exact definition of it here.
Hey, Shannon. I'm rooting. I love the tape about Congresswoman Lee. I'm rooting for her and Congressman Hank Johnson to have children. How great would that be? And entertaining for those two geniuses to have children that we can listen to for many years to come.
Yeah.
Love the show. Beetle, beetle.
Kids don't all gather back in that side of the house. It could capsize.
The Streisand effect is a phenomenon whereby an attempt to hide, remove, or censor a piece of information has the unintended consequences of publicizing the information more widely, usually facilitated by the internet. So basically, her talking about it is going to affect where we might actually see that video that nobody would have ever seen before.
Let's get it cracking.
I forgot to mention to you, the three of you. Hope you had a nice weekend.
I hope movie man Mike enjoyed his blue crabs. I did not enjoy my blue balls, though.
Thanks for that information.
I'm sorry to hear that.
Yeah. Hey, guys. Wow, Sheila Jackson Lee and Hank Johnson need to hook up if they haven't already. Unbelievable. Beat him, beat him.
That's funny.
Guys, I saw that picture. It wasn't AI. It was real. It was Meek Mill. He was sitting on Diddy's lap. There was mail-in ballots on the table beside him.
That's also going to be a counter argument to some real footage that may appear or a real photograph that AI. The novice can tell you. I mean, will we be able to tell?
Yes, no. I mean, still for most part they're pretty. You can tell there's some distortion to it. Your eyes are always a little bit like, okay, this doesn't seem quite right to me.
Right.
But some of them are getting really good.
Well, eventually.
Yeah, eventually.
Yeah.
Hey, guys. Richard from Crestview. Cansada, canned soda. I really about crap my pants on that one. That was the best joke of the day. Thank you so much. Love you guys.
It's a real story. It's a true story. And every time I share it with anybody, Kim and I still laugh about it. You know, I'll be like, we'll get a Mexican restaurant. I said, this cansada looks good, doesn't it?
Again, I will contend that no one actually watches The View to watch The View. That people only are viewing The View to see what stupid crap those cackling bitches will say. And to rebroadcast and make fun of it. Because I only ever hear people saying, on The View, they said. Like, I never heard anybody talking about watching The View. I don't know a single person ever. My grandmother used to, but she's dead and gone by a long time now.
The only way we see it is that somewhere, you know, somebody picks it apart, finds the dumbest things they say, and puts it out.
Yeah, I honestly think there's a lot of interns for companies that their entire job is to watch The View and just clip out the best parts they can get out of it, and it's torture to them.
Those, whatever they are, I guess, females on The View... I mean, they can't be serious. This has to be a joke. This show has to be set up to be funny or something. People aren't that ignorant, are they?
I don't know.
That has got to be the most pathetic show I've ever seen or listened to in my entire life.
It is pretty ridiculous. Who knows? Maybe it is just bread and circus for people to distract people, you know? Well, if I see a good clip, I'm playing it because they say the dumbest things.
Yeah,
imaginable.
I mean, I think sometimes there is maybe there's a producer that's going to win a bunch of awards someday when he finally comes out and he's like, the whole thing was performative comedy. I got you guys.
Not sure if we're going to survive affirmative action in DEI between Kamala Harris, Maxine Waters, Sheila Jackson Lee, Carol Moseley Braun. I mean, you got some huge intellects there. Also heard Hank Johnson's putting some legislation together because he didn't think the moon landing is ambitious enough. He wants to go to the sun. A couple of his colleagues were saying, how are you going to do that? They said it's too hot to get to close to. He goes, we got a plan to get around that. We're going to land at night. You be do.
You know, I haven't read those transcripts from Biden, but if they have all the like ahs and ums and all that, couldn't you have ChatGPT or whatever read it as an old man, or like read it as Biden even, but they can do that now. But like, I think you just ask it really easily to do that.
You can do that now. You don't need that tape to do it. There's plenty of uhs and ums out there.
Oh, and that is an added benefit of really pissing them off that if it sounds worse, and then they might actually release the real one.
As far as the HER report, the DOJ can relax. Just like Cat Turd posted on X, we didn't need a special counsel to know that Joe Biden has S for brains.
True.
Hey, Shando, this is ubiquitous Southern accent guy. You can call me USAG for short. I'll be calling in from time to time, leaving remarks complaining about Biden, the borders and vaccines and something other whatnot. Anyway, just want to introduce myself. Love the show, and I look forward to talking to you on a regular basis. How about that?
Well, just a
call
to let us know that he'll be calling.
Ubiquitous Southern accent guy.
I don't think you give yourself your own name.
I mean, that's a pretty good one.
It's not bad. Wait.
Interestingly enough, a lot of people are leaving the church, and I think kids that grow up in church have to make a decision at one point if it's going to be their parents' religion or their religion. My father's a minister. I grew up in the church. And until an individual person realizes that they have to accept the religion as their own and not because their parents made them do it, they won't ever be happy. I wish the guy all the luck in the world.
Who's that on the horn? What's the name?
You got Brian on there.
Brian. Brian, thanks for calling. You are you're a former member of Jehovah's Witness? Or right?
I am. About 12 years ago, I left. How you doing, Shannon?
I'm doing really well. Thanks for calling in. What was your experience like? Did you lose all your friends and family? What happened?
Yeah, that's exactly how it works. I had an affair, and I didn't have to be outed. I could have repented, as they call it.
Right.
But it was time for me to move on. But man, dear friends, you know, I came down to Lawrenceville in '99. And I was raised in it. And so for, 10 years or so, I had great friends. Boom, all gone. Had to start over.
So were you raised? Obviously, you were raised in it, right? Your parents were Jehovah's Witness as well?
Yes, absolutely.
All right. Well, you back on, how long did it take to, you felt like you were in reality, and free from all that?
It was probably a good 5 years before it's like, okay, quit thinking about it. You know, do what you got to do. Make your friends. And I've made many friends. I've got close friends.
What about your family? Your family still on the outs with you?
Oh, yeah. Yes. Completely disowned me.
Wow. Wow. That's shocking to me.
It is shocking. It was a very abusive household, which sounds funny, being raised Jehovah's Witness and being abusive. There was never a lot of closeness. I was always closer to friends than I was family. So, completely disowning me.
Wow.
Completely. They needed something. My mom was down visiting and she needed a place to stay for a day. So all of a sudden she was my friend.
Wow. And then she leaves you don't see her and you don't talk to her anymore, huh?
Yeah, my calls go unanswered. It's interesting. And now it's like, you know, whatever. And the big thing, you know, the big difference between that religion and any other Christian religion is, you know, no holidays. And of course, you know, I've got a daughter and a wife. And, you know, we do everything. We're just normal people.
Excellent. Brian, I appreciate the call, brother. I'm going to play the rest of these messages, but you had some took some balls, but I appreciate it. Thanks for the story,
yes,
man.
Yes, sir.
Appreciate it. See you.
Absolutely. Thank you. Have a great day.
That sucks.
It's
your mom and dad.
Good old-fashioned shunning.
Yeah, sure is.
Hey, you guys. Great show. For the gamer, take the tampon out and grow some balls.
All right.
Does the girl's family and friends and her church and all that know she's an OnlyFans model? Because you can, you know, just threaten to release her crap.
Well, folks, the eclipse is come and gone, and they turn on the CERN collider, and we're not in a different dimension. We're still here, and I'm still queer, folks. And ladies, I have something exciting to tell you, okay? We just got a shipment of the Korean foreskin in, and if you want to look like Kate Beckinsale, all you do is just go to my website, okay? And in the coupon code, you just type in my name, silly. It's A-L-Y-X. You get that 10% off and free shipping. Very good stuff. Very professional order today. Hooray.
So I see there were two things that got messed up by the eclipse yesterday. The app and most everybody's remarks yesterday when they were trying to leave jokes. Beedoo beedoo.
Yeah, we're temporarily humorless.
Sometimes when I'm real high at night, I go outside and I look up into the sky and the moon is just like a half of a circle. I wonder what that's called.
It's completely round. That's what a full moon is.
Man, I guess I should have known that you were going to start the show with a fear-mongering AI-generated video about the media lying about Trump overfeeding goldfish. Oh, so scary.
An AI?
Yeah, it wasn't.
That wasn't AI. It was his trip to Japan. I think Liberal Larry might be AI.
They need a male version of The View that's a panel of all real manly men, and they could just call it The Truth.
It's got to be similar to The View, like The Vision, The Sight. That's a great idea, though. I don't know, dudes, but it would attract the male audience, and they're all at work in the middle of the day.
Hey, what's up, Shando? Easy, Heather, Sparky352. Oh, I know I've been absent for a couple days, man. Been working real hard, bro. But I've been listening that night. The View, the guy that just called in about The View. Yes, there are 3, 4, 5 million Karens that sit around their TV every day from 11 to noon and watch those five buffoons. Hey, great show, guys. Be-doo-be-doo.
Excuse me, sir. Have you heard the word of God today? Jesus is looking for you. Come to church. You'll be happy.
I'm not sure that's how their gimmick actually works, but those are the remarks for this hour, powered by Morris Family Farms and Morganic Meats. We do it again in the final hour of the program. Get the app, hit the button, go to town. We're getting dark.
It's Tuesday. Yeah. It's usually tinfoil, but we're kind of tinfoil-y. The government, they always know best for you, right? They
seem to think so.
They tell you the laws we make are for you and for your protection, and we're progressive, and we're going to help you. And a lot of times those have backfired just spectacularly over history.
I can't wait. Awesome. Hang on. It's the Shannon Burke Show on the Florida Man Radio Network. Oh. Actor Billy Dee Williams. Man, I did not know he was 87 years old. He looks great. He was on Bill Maher's Club Random. They started talking about Laurence Olivier, who wore blackface in a play to play the title role in the film Othello. And so that sparked criticism at the time and is widely considered unacceptable today, given the history of blackface mocking African-Americans and minstrel shows and all that nonsense. So Billy Dee Williams spoke glowingly about Olivier's performance, and he said he loved it. And Maher told him, he said, today you could never do that. And Billy Dee Williams says, why? And Maher's like stunned. He goes, blackface? And he said, why not? You should do it. If you're an actor, you should do anything you want to do. Maher said, that's a great point of view, but the theater would be bombed. I don't know.
I mean, I don't think Billy Dee's wrong. It's acting. As long as it's not being done for to be hateful or a caricature or something like that, or it's acting. They're playing a part. It's no different than a woman dressing up as a man to play a part.
Right. And this is different from the traditional blackface. The traditional blackface was a minstrel.
Yeah, it was
show.
A joke.
Yeah, it was you know, distorting and exaggerating features of African Americans and their language, dancing, and all that stuff. In Othello, that was not it at all. That was not a minstrel performance. Even Richard Dreyfuss sparked a little bit of backlash. He was saying this similar thing. Just last year, he said, arguing actors should be able to perform in blackface. He said he thought Othello, Olivier played it brilliantly and suggested that he ought to be able to do so as a white man. He said, am I being told that I will never have a chance to play a black man? I guess so. Olivier received an Oscar nomination for that role. One professor showed it to a class in 2021. He had a step back, which means he had to retire.
There's a difference between acting and putting on a minstrel show.
Yeah, absolutely, 100%. I mean, Robert. I mean, 2008, Robert Downey Jr. in Tropic Thunder. The whole thing was it was known that he was a white guy that was playing a black role, and yes, he stayed in character the whole time. That was brilliantly funny. He did say on Joe Rogan that he thought it was wrong. But hey, that was, and by the way, that was a Ben Stiller film. You know, he produced that film. Maybe he directed it as well, but I know he produced it. But hey, you're an actor.
It's becoming a character.
Right.
You're not pretending. When you're doing those parts, you're playing a character, not playing a joke of a character. If you're putting on black makeup with big exaggerated red lips and the white eyes,
right,
and the black face,
then
makeup,
you are.
You're not playing a character anymore. You're playing a racist depiction.
It's like, I think, I don't know that Dustin Hoffman, did he win an Oscar for Rain Man? He's certainly nominated, I think, but you could never make that film today, and he did it brilliantly.
I mean, Sean Penn did I Am Sam.
Right. Well, anywho, let's get dark.
Yes, let's do that.
Shall we?
It's Disturbing History with EZ. There's a lot of history out there. Some of it isn't in the books.
Government.
It's infallible. Can never do wrong. Everything it does for you is for you and your betterment, or the environment's betterment, or everybody's betterment. They don't just make laws. Yeah. They don't just throw things out there and willy-nilly. It's like, I don't know, we'll see what happens. Let's get rid of bail reform. Helping the people. Sometimes progressive laws can backfire pretty spectacularly. Or sometimes just laws in period. Sometimes you have laws that, I don't know, maybe you think it's to protect yourself or the other people. And sometimes those can, fail pretty spectacularly as well. Like 19-year-old Queen Sunodhana Kumatarana.
19-year-old?
Yep. She was queen consort and one of the three wives of King Chulalongkorn of Siam, which is now Thailand. I don't know if you've seen,
What's it called?
Siam.
Siam. Yeah.
It's now Thailand.
Yeah.
Back in 1880, she drowned alongside her daughter after their boat capsized in the Chao Phraya River. They could have been rescued, but they weren't, because the law forbade anybody from touching members of the royal family.
You could not touch them?
Correct.
Problematic.
May 1880, Queen Sunodhana and her daughter were traveling to their summer palace, which was right across the Chao Phraya River. She and her daughter were put in a boat, which was tethered to another boat containing their guards and servants. The queen's boat capsized after it was swept by strong currents. The guards and servants watched as the queen and the princess struggled in the water, but they could have helped, but could not.
They didn't help because they can't touch them.
The law forbade anybody from touching a royal under the threat of death. But nobody wanted to risk their lives, so they watched a pregnant queen drown.
Awesome.
There are also some claims that superstition may have discouraged the guards and servants from helping the queen. Apparently, people in Thailand believe that saving a drowning person could anger the spirits in the water, because, they're drowning that person to collect whatever soul they want to get out of them. So if you steal it from them, now you got angry water spirits.
Oh, yeah. They should have thought about that when they made that law.
Yeah. Well, nevertheless, though, the heartbroken king did send a lead attendant to prison. So the guy that watched, he was the head guy. I guess he couldn't send everybody, but he's like, all right, dude, you were the head guy out here. You should have just reached in and maybe grabbed her hand and pulled her out of the water.
Or could they throw him a life preserver or something, I guess?
It's 1880 Thailand. They had life preservers or, life-saver rings or anything like that. 1902, the city of Hanoi, Vietnam, has a serious rat problem.
Uh-oh.
Thousands of rats were popping around the city and infecting residents with the already deadly bubonic plague.
1902.
Oh,
yeah.
Officials soon discovered that rats were coming from about a 9-mile sewer system that was located underneath the city. Apparently, they didn't know much about it, and it was just full of rats. And in April 1902, the French-led Vietnamese government set up a task force to kill the rats in the sewers. In the first week, 7,985 rats were exterminated. By May, the men were slaughtering about 4,000 rats a day. On May 30th alone, they exterminated 15,041 rats.
Wow.
Just to give you kind of an idea on how many rats there were.
Definitely an infestation.
By June, the team was killing about 10,000 rats a day. And by June 21st, they had eliminated a record 20,112 rats.
Jesus.
And still
had a rat problem.
The city was overrun with the rats despite the mass killing. So the governments came out with an idea. They asked regular civilians, you see a rat, kill a rat, it will give you a penny. The government paid 1 cent per rat killed. The officials didn't want people bringing dead rats out of their offices, so they asked for one thing as evidence.
Tail.
The tail's correct. And I think you can see where this might be a bad idea. The scheme seemed to be working until the government realized that the city was filled with tailless rats. It quickly became obvious that people were cutting off the rats' tails so the rats could continue to breed, which would create more rats, which would create more tails, which could create more pennies in your pocket.
Holy crap. They're doing it on purpose.
Yeah. If that wasn't enough, some enterprising citizens were actually importing rats from outside the city and selling the tails to the government. Some farmers even created rat farms where they bred rats and cut the tails
just off. For the tail.
Yes.
Wow.
Officials did cancel the program finally.
That's funny.
January 18th, 1920, a day that will, not leave in infamy, but it's a pretty important day in American history. And that's the day the U.S. government banned the sale of alcoholic drinks within its territory.
Oh.
Prohibition is here.
Yeah.
This period remembered today as Prohibition. However, it was unsuccessful because, of course, everyone knows alcohol will continue to thrive. Yep. And it just went underground. No longer could
created a mob.
Created a mob. No longer could you regulate alcohol. No longer could you tax it. No longer could you make any money off it.
Stupid.
Because somebody else was doing. It also led to the rise of American criminal gangs. These underground bars, known as speakeasies, were fully controlled by criminal gangs. We got to get more of those out there. I know there's a couple here in Orlando.
Yeah, but they're legal, so.
Yeah, and they're also very, very hipster. Like, they're not.
Right. It's so cool.
It's such a cool concept, but you're going to go there, and there's going to be a dude with one of those curly mustaches. That
making drinks behind the bar.
Making drinks, and you know he goes and waxes that sucker every break just to make sure it stays super curly. And there's probably at least one guy with a stocking cap, even though it's 95 degrees outside. Of course, they were fully controlled by most criminal gangs, including the infamous Al Capone.
Yep.
He made over about $100 million a year from his casinos and illegal alcohol business. That's not $100 million now. That's $100 million.
1920s money.
Yes.
Holy crap.
Several criminal gangs realized that it would be a lucrative black market for alcohol once Prohibition began, so they stockpiled alcohol and began opening shops the moment that Prohibition started. So that whole, you told everybody ahead of time that alcohol is going to be illegal, so what did people do? They bought out warehouses full of alcohol and hid them. They replenished their supplies by smuggling alcohol from Canada and Mexico and stealing medicinal alcohol supplies transported throughout the U.S. I don't know if you knew that. That was something that you could get from your doctor.
Yeah, Winston Churchill, when he came to visit the United States during Prohibition, brought a prescription from his doctor for bourbon.
Yeah, you could get a whiskey prescription from your doctor. Kind of like almost...
Just like marijuana.
Yeah, like marijuana now. Which, I gotta look and see how easy it was to get. Could it just go to the doctor and, like, now just like, hey, I'm feeling a little down. I'm a little sore in my shoulder. Or he's like, I know exactly what to get you.
You need some gin. That's what you need.
Also, it led to a lot of people going blind.
Yeah. When you make it, and it's unregulated and it's made in a bathtub somewhere.
Bathtub gin for some way. The United Nations and the World Health Organization, you know, they're always looking out for your safety and not anything else.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. They encourage member states to make cigarette manufacturers adopt a plain cigarette pack in an attempt to discourage smoking. In Australia, France, and UK, they passed laws to make cigarette packs plain. Not that ours are insanely advertised heavy.
Marlboro's, on the package itself?
Yeah, I mean, Marlboro's pretty plain nowadays.
Yeah, but they're distinct. They try to be distinct, but I don't think they're, you know, elaborate. You know,
they're not super flashy. They used to be fairly, you know, kind of elaborate. But this didn't seem to discourage people from smoking. They couldn't figure out why. As all the packages now look alike, smokers buy the cheapest cigarettes instead of the preferred brands that they previously did. That means they spend less on cigarettes than they did when the packs were branded.
Hmm.
So if you just go to the store and they're all white packs that say Cigs on them, you're like, all right, well, it's cheaper because they're not paying for advertising on them and they're not branding them in any way. And I'll just pick up another pack. Australia noted that its smoking rate did not decline even after a tax hike. Instead, the country saw an increase of illegal cigarettes flowing in. The result was worse in France and the UK, where the smoking rate actually increased after the introduction of the plain packaging.
More people smoke.
Yes. 1958, Chairman Mao Zedong. He launched the Four Pests campaign to encourage Chinese citizens to kill animals and insects that were considered pests by the state. These animals were sparrows, rats, flies, mosquitoes. Sparrows.
Mainly, kill sparrows?
He hated sparrows. They were regarded as pests because they often ate grain seeds. But I think there was another thing. Basically, he just didn't like the bird.
Well, they're kind of plain looking. They're not particularly beautiful. They're brown or, you know, normally.
Mao was just a weird dude. Hundreds of millions of sparrows have been killed by 1960, but this would prove to be a terrible idea. While Chairman Mao was concerned with sparrows eating grain seeds, he did not also realize that they ate other things, including locusts, which actually ate more grain seeds than the sparrows themselves. With the sparrows out of the way, the locusts freely bred and multiplied. Locust swarms soon appeared across China, eating up every plant they could.
Wow.
The result was a deadly famine that killed 15 to 78 million people.
Wow. Did Mao ever come out and say, sorry, my bad?
No, of course not. Okay. Old dear leaders don't say things like that. These were even reports of people turning to cannibalism to survive. A drought and a failed government farming policy worsened the famine, which exasperated when the government attempted to censor the news about it. Because everything in China was glorious during those time periods and not everybody eating each other because they had no food.
Glorious.
The Macquarie Island is located between Australia and Antarctica. Soon after its discovery in 1810, this is my favorite. What was the old story? The woman that swallowed the fly, then she swallowed the rat to get the fly, swallowed the cat.
Oh, yeah.
Basically, that's what this island was.
Jesus.
Soon after its discovery in 1810, rats sneaked out of a ship to colonize the island. The lack of predators saw the rodents breed so fast that sailors brought in cats to control the rat population. 60 years later, some sailors dropped some rabbits on the island so the other seamen who got shipwrecked could feed on the rabbits.
Oh, boy.
The cats turned on the rabbits. However, the rabbits survived the feline onslaught and continued to multiply rapidly. The abundance of food caused the cats to continue to proliferate because now
they're breeding like crazy. They got a food source.
The cats soon added the native birds to their diet and hunted some to extinction. The rabbits also ate some of the native plants to extinction. In 1970s, the deadly myotomasis disease was introduced to the island to keep the rabbit population in check.
What is that, some rabbit killing disease?
Yeah, it's a rabbit. I think it's that one that causes the rabbit's brains to bleed out.
Oh, good Lord. What a nightmare.
Yeah. Disease reduced the rabbit population from an all-time high of about 130,000 to fewer than 20,000 in less than 10 years. However, the rapid decline in rabbits also caused the cats to now eat more birds because they didn't have any rabbits to eat.
What a nightmare.
So conservationists started to shoot the cats, and the last one was killed in 2000.
Wow.
Well, now that the cats were gone, guess who came back? The rabbits.
The rabbits came back?
Yes. Oh, Lord.
The rabbits ate so many plants that the island's penguins went extinct. The rabbits had eaten about 40% of the island's vegetation as of 2009. As a result, the Tasmanian Parks and Wildlife Service decided to rid the island of all invasive species, including 130,000 rabbits, 103,000 mice, and about 36,000 rats once and for all.
Problem is they had to get them somewhere, you know? They probably bought rabbits,
mm-hmm.
and they took them out there, and they ended up having to poison them to death, make their brains bleed. Genius.
Yeah, again, it was one of those...
what year was this?
This was in... Well, I mean, this was still going on in the 2000s.
They took that long to get it under control.
In 2009, the rabbits had eaten 40% of the wildlands vegetation, so...
Oh, my God.
And that is why Australia will not let you bring your dog into the country.
You can't bring a dog there.
Remember Johnny Depp and...
Oh, yeah, they did.
They tried to bring their little dogs.
Didn't they get in trouble?
Yeah, they got...
fined or something?
Fined and court case and... That was his whole Amber Heard timeline.
That's why they snuck him in, because they flew private.
Yeah. Because he was filming. I think he was doing one of the Pirates films down there. Several U.S. states have introduced ban the box laws to stop employers from asking prospective employees if they have been previously convicted of crimes. The laws are supposed to help ex-convicts find work, but they are quickly becoming a nightmare for those ex-convicts. According to studies, employers now guess whether prospective employees are ex-convicts through racial profiling. Considering the same employers believe that blacks are likely to have been in prison, black job seekers have a lower probability of getting called for an interview than white applicants. This type of determination is often influenced whether the applicant's name sounds distinctly white or black. Some of this I'm like, maybe not. Before the ban, the box laws were passed in New Jersey and New York, white job seekers were 7% likelier to be called for interview than black prospects. The probability actually shot up to about 45% in favor of whites after the laws were passed in these locations.
So... That's after the law.
Yes. That actually meant that more convicted white job seekers got jobs before other people did, because they got rid of the law that said you can't look to see if they were.
Now they crawl up your ass with a microscope. Mm-hmm.
Smart guns. People talk about them all the time.
Oh, yeah. Well, they...
you got basically maybe a fingerprint
or something.
Or something that causes that you... The guns are personalized to you. Well, only you can fire this gun, be it the grip or whatever. There's been a bunch of different designs that people have come across.
One has a ring. It's associated with a chip or some nonsense.
I've seen a lot of them where it's like fingerprint unlock. You got to actually hold your fingerprint to it before it'll... different things that cause the gun to be...
take you longer to get up.
Well, but they're personalized.
Right.
These are the ones that can be unlocked and used by the owner. They have been invented and would be a win for gun control if they were actually available to be introduced in the U.S. See, they haven't been due to the childproof handgun law that was introduced in New Jersey about 2002. The law required that New Jersey gun stores to sell only smart handguns 30 months after the first smart gun is available for sale in any state. Since they haven't been put to sale, the countdown hasn't started yet, so that law never goes into effect in New Jersey. Pro-gun advocates say the law is an attempt at gun control and are lobbying hard to stop smart guns from getting to the U.S. market. In 2014, a gun store in Maryland and another in California drew the ire of pro-gun advocates after revealing plans to introduce smart guns in the U.S. The stores actually backtracked after their owners received death threats.
Ooh. Wow.
2016, New Jersey passed a bill to amend the law. According to the bill, gun stores would not need to carry a smart gun only inventory, although they would be required to have at least one smart gun model in their inventory. Actually, back then, Governor Chris Christie refused to sign that bill into law. So,
really?
A man that he's kind of run his mouth a little bit about pro-gun stuff,
sure,
anti-gun stuff, and now...
So there's still no fingerprint gun, smart gun available?
I think there are a couple on the market, but they're not very... They're just not a top
popular,
bunch of,
yeah. Hell no.
And lastly, we've seen this one in action so many times. Trump was mocked for even talking about this, about the fact that maybe you should burn some land so the land itself doesn't burn. The U.S. Forest Service was formed to prevent wildfires, and actually its very existence is the reason the U.S. experiences more devastating wildfires. Prior to the creation of the U.S. Forest Service, small natural fires happened in the Southwest every 5 to 10 years on average. These fires often destroyed shrubs but left the bigger trees untouched. However, the U.S. Forest Service prevents these small fires from burning freely, so the plants that would have been destroyed in the small natural fires have now been spared. As a result, these smaller plants and trees become bigger, more numerous. Worse yet, they become fuel for the larger or man-made natural fires. So, because of the fact that you don't want to do controlled burns, which we do here in the state of Florida quite a bit, and they stop the wildfires that we would have raging across the state if we didn't all the time.
They do it in Texas.
And California, God forbid, the acorn on the ground gets burned up. But of course, when the fire lightning bolt or the weird guy that feels the need to burn
start
some stuff
a fire,
in
randomly.
The forest causes millions of dollars worth of damage and destroyed wildlife because you just can't do the thing that we've been doing for
it's
years.
So bad.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe they should use a rake, you know, rake the leaves in the forest.
When we return, our buddy Jonathan Morris will join us. And according to an ex-FDA food chief, there are some, because of bird flu, there are some things you should avoid eating. We'll get Jonathan's opinion on it. Hang on. It's the Shannon Burke Show on the Florida Man Radio Network.
Florida Man Radio.
Jonathan Morris is in the studio with us from Morris Family Farms. What's going on? Fresh back from a trip to Georgia.
Yes. Hello, good sir. Thank you for having me. Georgia is awesome as always. The people produced. I know.
They wanted some T-shirts. Thanks to Axel, Everdry J, and Tim Campbell. I went to my personal stash and dug up some very exclusive, very limited edition stuff. And thanks for the scofflaw, guys. I appreciate it.
You did. Yeah, you hit the lick, man. You hit the lick.
You got something going on this weekend?
I do, yes, sir. I will be at Beach Weekend in Fort Walton. It's 12 South Miracle Parkway, if you're up there. And I'll be there from 11 to 5. So from 11 to 3, we're doing a free barbecue. Donations accepted. A free barbecue. You got to pay your own bar tabs. Don't stick me with your bar tab. Randy's going to meet me out there and hang out. You know, Randy's got some good experience, so he's going to keep me on track. Being underneath the bar. And then from 3 to 5, we're doing the show live from Beach Weekend. So come hang out. 11 to 3 barbecue from 3 to 5, live show. Get your meat orders in, 407-402-5686. Amy and Alyssa are anxiously standing by the phone to take all of the panhandle meat orders. I'm bringing beef and pork and chicken. I'm bringing it all.
Well, good.
Tomahawks.
Have you seen the latest from the ex-FDA food chief, Dr. Darren Detweiler?
I have not. Was that something current today?
Yeah. He's a food safety expert now at Northeastern University in Boston, former FDA and USDA food safety advisor.
Oh, boy.
Well, he has shared with whomever wishes to hear it the foods he believes you should steer clear of amid the bird flu fears.
Oh, and what are they? I like how you use the word steer, by the way.
Yes. Well, they're being urged to stay away from steak and eggs.
Oh, of course.
Some desserts. There's a small risk of catching bird flu. He also said that animal products that are not properly cooked could harbor small fragments of the virus. He says steak should be cooked well done.
What a calmly bastard.
Eggs with runny yolks should be avoided. Also, avoid Caesar salad dressing, which is made with raw eggs.
He's a communist, right?
Yeah, a well-done steak. No. Next thing, I'm going to tell him to put ketchup on it.
You know, I had two medium-rare fillets for lunch today. Well-done steak.
Transmission
of
bird flu, he says, to humans through the consumption of properly cooked poultry foods is very low, but the risk arises with improperly cooked eggs or poultry or meat.
You know, you and I talked about this a little bit on Saturday. If they really cared and if this really was a big deal, there would be an inspector at every pig farm in America. Because no matter what they tell you in mainstream media, there's only one animal we share lung receptors with, and that is a pig. So if we're going to get this from now, other than like that guy that got that on the dairy farm, that cow either pooped or peed or had snot coming out of his nose. The guy touched it, maybe didn't wash his hands, ate a sandwich, and he ingested it. Okay?
Right.
Mad cow disease you got from eating. So you have to ingest the animal or the animal product to get it, or the animal has to breathe on you.
So this cow allegedly had it, right?
And the cow probably was snotting at the nose,
right.
Mucus. The guy was probably working somewhere, either bringing the cow into the parlor or taking the cow out of the parlor. Came in contact with the mucus, the snot, the saliva from the mouth, didn't properly wash his hands before he ate his bologna sandwich.
He said, I would 100% recommend that everything is cooked through to a minimum safe cooking temperature. For steak, it's 145. That's too well done. Medium is roughly 130.
135, you know. Yes.
They also says for people to be cautious about eggs with the runny yolks, sunny side up, that type of thing. And they say that you should avoid hollandaise sauce, Caesar salad. Additionally, no bake desserts like edible cookie dough are risky sources. And he also said something about you should buy your, what do you say, buy your food from a commercial?
Yeah, don't buy it from farmers markets.
Don't buy from farmers. Serious? Yeah, don't buy from farmers markets.
Wow. What a shot.
He said, be mindful of where you're getting your food. If there's H5N1 in birds and that bird makes it to the point where it's still alive and there are eggs that come with this, that bird needs to be properly dealt with. This is depopulation calling. The U.S., you know, the biggest egg producer, Cal-Maine Foods in Texas, revealed that it had 2 million birds they had to cull. We want to make sure we're purchasing eggs from reputable sources that follow strict biosecurity measures. Therefore, recommended purchasing eggs, poultry, beef from major retailers rather than your local farmer's market. He said, I'm not going to be going to a farmer's market or a farm anytime soon.
Wow, what a commie. So here's the deal. Show me one local farm, like Dale Volker was going to come on this Saturday, but since I'm going to be in Fort Walton, he's coming on next Saturday. He is the owner of Lake Meadow Natural in Ocoee. He is where we get all of our eggs from that we sell at our store.
Right.
He has zero bird flu infections. Zero. Right?
Right.
So why would he recommend us buying from the commercial farms that have bird flu?
Right, or any other like meat from commercial farms. Talking about beef and chicken and eggs and all that.
The lie he's telling, the commercial guys with the overcrowding and overpopulation are the ones dealing with this problem right now.
I think his take on it is that you're more likely to have inspectors at a bigger facility, commercial facility, than we will at a mom and pop. That's his thing.
I get it, but it's also a direct attack at small mom and pop.
Exactly.
That's all it's about.
It's all it is.
Because we don't have a lot of, just like in the pig, we don't have that parasite, I can't pronounce it, starts with a T-H-E-R, because we don't have overcrowding.
Trichinosis.
Yes, we don't have that in our pigs. And you can eat our pigs medium rareish, little pink, you know?
I do.
And you'll be fine because you don't have to cook that out of our pigs. It's an attack. It's just another attack to shut down farmers markets, shut down small mom-and-pop farms and mom-and-pop operations. It's a farce.
Yeah, there's only been, one dude?
He got it from a commercial dairy farm.
Right.
But this lets the cat out of the bag. Because sometimes people will tell me, why is the ground beef so different at the grocery store? Excuse me.
Why is the ground beef so what?
Different at the grocery store. Sometimes it's stringy, it's strainy.
Right.
Why is the other ground beef not like yours? I was like, well, we don't use old dairy cows to grind up to make our ground beef. Right. We only use prime premium cows.
Right.
And this lets you know right now that how much dairy cattle are in your beef selections at the grocery store.
Because in ground beef.
The ground beef, and maybe in some sirloin, roast, the different types of shoe leather, London broil, you know, type cuts.
Right.
But when the dairy cows get through making milk, they throw them all in a thing and grind them all up, you know, 10,000 of them or so, and they send it out as ground beef. We don't sell dairy cows for meat at our shop. We sell beef cows, and our cows aren't sick.
Right.
You know?
And they don't come from a massive herd.
No.
And
the one thing is, when you have monitorization or you monitor or you crop rotate, crop watch, so to speak, like we do, you identify a problem quickly. And you're like, oh, we have a problem in this cow. Let's separate this cow. Let's keep an eye on all the other cows. Watch the water trough. Dump all the tanks. Make sure, you know, we take care of it fast because we're looking at 30 or 40 cows. And we have that ability.
Right.
Whereas they got 10,000 cows on every pasture up there in feedlots or so.
Right.
They're not looking at every cow. They don't know until they had the problem that they had the problem. And now that puts the recalls out and all the other stuff, the sick people and the hospital visits with us and other small farms.
How difficult is it to test if an animal has H5N1?
Well, you wouldn't test until you saw something.
But then I know what I'm saying. You
call your vet. The
you
vet
get one
out.
Bird, one chicken, they falls over the test. You got some H5N1, you go, I'll kill them all. Well, they might not all have it.
Yes, and that's, again, they find easy ways to broad sword it, you know?
For lack Think of about a, the rest of the chickens there. They're like, man, thanks a lot, Fred. Chickens. Thanks a lot.
Fred had the sniffles.
Yeah, now we're all going to be cold. Appreciate it.
Killed off tomorrow. And then they're going to boil us really hot and put us in a can. And they're still going to sell us.
You know...
it just makes me mad because instead of, just like with the pig thing, instead of back in the 60s manning up and saying, hey, we messed up real bad by allowing all these pig overcrowding houses, we created a parasite. They came out with the whole slogan, the other white meat, pork. Well, God didn't make pigs white.
What?
The USDA did. You know, to cover up their sins. And it's like now, yes, bird flu is a real thing. But the last global pandemic was in 2008.
Yeah, for bird flu, yeah.
Yeah, with Joe's daddy, Barack.
Yeah.
And isn't it convenient?
And they kept it under wraps and never made the news. It, and I think, if, I forget, it did kill some
Well, Barack
some
is the one that, that executed the order to kill all those chickens in South Carolina, West Virginia, Virginia. That was what made it such big news in the in our industry in 2008. He's the one that kind of mandated that the USDA step in and do something. And I don't know. To me, it's just too close to the next election cycle with Trump, you know, and them using the words 100 times worse than COVID. They're setting this thing up to be where it's like, you can't vote for Trump. Look how mean and insensitive he was during COVID. You know, we need Uncle Joe.
Cousin Pookie.
Don't get me fired up, man. God dog it.
So,
USDA, four-letter comedy operation of the government.
Right. Avoid steakhouses. How irresponsible is that? You tell me not, I'm not going to go to Ruth's Chris because this this dipstick told me that there's a chance like Ruth's Chris is going to have a steak in there that it's going to be.
I wonder if those places could sue him for loss of revenue because of one statement with his title. How many idiots out there are going to go into hysteria? And if these small places start losing revenue because people aren't eating no more because one guy talked about it with a title.
Yeah.
Is he liable, you think? Or probably not?
Well, he does work for Northeastern University in Boston as a food safety expert, but he did work for FDA and USDA as a food safety advisor.
I would not trust him at all based on that.
Oh, hell no.
He's the last guy I'm taking advice from.
And you think of a good steakhouse, you know they're making a tableside Caesar salad with a raw egg right in front of you.
Yes. Yes.
That's the only one way to do it, man.
I don't, to me, it's just too convenient. If you look at the exact wordage he used and the places he listed that he would not eat at, he would not go, and things he would not do.
He wouldn't go to a farmer's market. He wouldn't go to a steakhouse. He wouldn't eat Caesar salad.
And now, you know, I'm gonna, now that this is out, probably by Friday it'll hit our store, and I'll answer 9,000 questions about, are your steaks safe because of the bird flu?
Are you all tested for H5N1?
Are you testing? Are you testing? No, I'm not testing because none of our animals are sick.
It's really irresponsible. I don't know yet where they're trying to go with this bird flu nonsense. If there's a legitimate attempt to make a run at it for to scare some voters and do some mail-in ballots and that type of thing. They're behind if they're running on the same schedule as 2020 to do that. They haven't even mentioned it yet. Right. But, you know, maybe who knows? We're seven months out?
All right, so let's say worst case scenario or best case scenario, it's not a scare tactic for the election. It's another attack to get rid of
small farmers and meat.
Or meat altogether. And get people say, man, Bill Gates ain't selling that fake meat. The Beyond Burger is down another 7% in their stocks. We got to do something, guys.
Scare them with some meat virus.
Scare them all.
That's exactly what it is. It's exactly what. And I think, I hate to say this, but I think that there is a move to shut down small farms. I really do.
There is. That's been going on for a while now, but it's getting worse and worse. And if you look at the takeover of Amazon, the takeover of Walmarts, and how they're orchestrating everything, you look at any town or community that has a Walmart or an Amazon store come into it, and within 3 to 5 years, most of the small businesses are gone. They're just gone. They can't compete, you know?
Right. Well, you can't get tomahawk steaks on Amazon yet.
But yes,
and if you did, they probably came from God knows where.
You're right. But if the majority of the consumers shopped with their brain and really thought it through and spent the time to come to the small farmers markets, the small butcher shops, vegetable stores, whole health type places, you know?
Yeah.
And really put their effort into it, and instead of just for convenience, oh, wow, I'm there, I'm getting my toilet paper, I might as well grab some steaks and some chicken.
Right.
You know, I'll catch Jonathan on Tuesday, or I'll catch Billy on Tuesday, you know?
Right. We never went to a butcher shop when I was growing up as a kid because my grandfather raised and we were always fully stocked. But my mom did go to a bakery and she got went to a bakery for all the bread. She bought eggs at a different place, a little mom and pop thing. And the staples came from the Safeway. you know.
Right.
But
yeah, but that's there's unfortunately we still have a good percentage of people that do that. Obviously, we're in business, but there's so many people that come down on Saturday and they're like, "Man, I just can't get here. I'm so busy. Just can't get here. You know, I'm just so busy. Publix is on the way home. Whole Foods is on the way home.
They got steaks there too.
Yeah, but then you do a 75% off sale on a Wednesday. And all those people, Amy and I laughed. That was the best thing about that sale we did that one Wednesday.
Yeah.
And I'm not knocking everybody. Thank everybody for coming out. We hit the number we needed to pay all the bills, and we're in a good spot. But every person, I'd walk by Amy and be like, oh, I'm just way too busy to get here. But when it's 75% off on a Wednesday, it would line out the door. I had two other people in the plaza come over. Jonathan, what are you doing? I'm selling stuff. Am I bothering you? Yeah, you got people standing in front of our shop waiting to get in your shop.
That's awesome.
It was insane.
The type of eggs that are okay for you to eat are only hard-boiled and scrambled. No more sunny-side, over-easy, poached, or soft-boiled, according to this Nimrod.
Nah, he's full of junk. Yeah, he can go fly a kite somewhere.
Yeah. The CDC states that scientists do not have any evidence that shows a nutritional benefit from raw milk. So don't drink raw milk either. Raw milk definitely carries a high risk of exposure to avian flu, but other pathogens like Salmonella, E. coli, and Listeria. Pasteurization is the only effective way in eliminating these pathogens to make inactive any type of influenza virus. But quite honestly, pasteurized milk is always the safer choice.
Wow. I think this is passive-aggressive, pandering propaganda. And what's the other one? It's not called greenlighting. What's that word?
Gaslighting.
Gaslighting all in one. This article, it covered all 4 points.
He said, we want to make sure that we're purchasing eggs from reputable sources that follow strict biosecurity. He therefore recommended purchasing eggs, poultry, beef from major retailers other than your local farmers and your local farmers markets.
I say nay to that. I say let's revolt.
That doesn't even make common sense.
No.
You know, you're not calling herds. It's these big producers that are calling herds and recalling beef and killing, all the chickens and laying birds they have.
Yes, big chicken and big dairy got with this guy and said, look, people are swinging to the local people because of our troubles.
We got to kill these little small farmers.
We got to shut these small farms down.
We got to stomp them under our boot.
Get them out of here. So then you have no options. Oh, my goodness. Wow. Thanks for riling me up, buddy.
Well, you need to know about these things.
I do. I probably would have found out this evening about it when I got off work, but
I've never really, outside of the...
let me have that story.
Yeah, it's all yours. Outside of the normal warnings, like, okay, eggs are high in cholesterol. Doctors say don't eat eggs. And then a couple of years later, eggs are the best source of protein you could possibly get your hands on. Shovel them in your throat. Those warnings, like too much beef causes high cholesterol. And then you realize, it really doesn't at all. And you know, those are all you should and you shouldn't because of your health. Now there's death out there. There is a virus, and it is deadly. And right now we have to take, this is a pretty extreme measures here for a person that, you know, likes to get their fruit and vegetables at a farmer's market and then come to a butcher shop to get their protein and the beef and meats and stuff like that. It's just warning them.
Well, no, it's not a warning.
Just tell you.
The problem with the story is it's not an educational story. It's a scare story.
Right.
They're not educating them. They're not telling them different things they can do at the farmer's market, different things you can look for, you know, dirty farm, clean farm. They're not giving you any education. They're just scaring you. And they're not scaring us.
Right.
But they're trying to scare the American people. So, hey, what are you doing on Saturday? Well, we used to go to the farmer's market, but man,
we don't want to get that bird flu.
On that news, we can't go down there. We can't go to the farmer's market no more. Well, think about this, right? So if you quit going to the farmer's market for the farm vendor that's there, and there may be multiple, maybe one guy with everything, what about all the other vendors at the farmer's market that depend on that farmer? Because a lot of farmer's markets that we used to do, we were the main source.
Right.
And people, we were like the Publix, I guess, if you would. And people would come and shop with us. And then the lady selling a candle or selling earrings
or
handmade soap, they benefited from the person who parked. And most farmer's markets strategically put the farmer in the back. And the other vendors in front, so everybody has to walk by those vendors twice. You park, you walk past everybody, you shop your farmer's market stuff, and then you walk past everybody. Gives them two good looks.
Right.
They're
counting. They pick up a bar of patchouli soap, give it a sniff, they might buy a couple of bars.
Right.
$6.
But if that bar soap guy was there without a farmer's market, a vegetable guy, a meat guy, egg guy, they wouldn't be there.
Oh, yeah.
There would be no customers.
They're not selling anything, yeah.
So if everybody's at the big, trusted grocery stores the next 4 or 5 weekends.
Hippie soap department goes out of business.
Yeah, so it's not just the farmers they're putting out of business. They're putting the whole farmers market out of business.
Right.
By making this statement.
This is the only place and the only story I've been able to find that talks about foods you should avoid, the places you should avoid, and where you should get your food.
Very specific.
Very specific. Very specific. Pumping up big business, crapping all over the small guy, yes. On purpose.
If you can't see through that, there's no hope.
And I don't care what you tell me. I'm not eating a well-done steak. It's not happening. It's an insult to that animal's entire life that it lived to give me a nice steak, and now it's a shoe leather.
That's right. There's only one steak you eat well-done, and that's Salisbury. Covered in gravy and onions.
What's Salisbury made of?
Hamburger.
This is hamburger meat put in the patty, right?
Hamburger, fat that thing down, put in the skillet.
Put some brown gravy on it.
Put some gravy and onions and some white rice.
Salisbury steak.
That's the trailer park steak.
My mom used to, give Salisbury steak all the time. We thought we were eating steak.
We loved it. My dad used to make it. Make them long. He'd make them real long, too. He'd patty them out when they were long.
Just make it look more like a steak?
Yeah. It was good, though. With a can of French green beans. Green beans season wasn't in. Go ahead. I'm going to talk more about the story. Thank you.
Yeah. It's
a bunch of crap.
I get health advice, but that's scare. That's nothing but a scare article. Nothing but a panic.
You would think this story, you got me all fired up. You would think this story would say, man, avoid your big retails right now. There's bird flu going everywhere. It actually spread to a dairy farm. A guy got sick from it. We lost 12 cows and 8 cats. Right now, you need to go support the local guy that only has 20 or 30 chickens or 40 chickens.
Yes.
And he can look at every one of them every day.
I mean, that guy got his infection at a big,
at a trusted establishment.
A big, giant dairy farm, you know, one of the biggest dairy farms.
I bet Keeley Farms, I don't know if they listen to the show, I bet Keeley Farms in New Smyrna ain't got nobody killed on their small dairy farm. There's a dairy farm up in New Smyrna, Sam Sula area named Keeley. And all they do is cows.
Sam Sula.
Yeah.
That's how they hide the smell.
Is that what it is?
Dairy farms are... You've been on a dairy farm. I lived in a neighborhood of a dairy farm out on a warm in Corona, California. And one of the biggest dairy farms in California was in Norco, north of Corona.
Right.
And on a hot day, man, you couldn't escape it. You had to drive 5 miles away from the area to escape the stench.
Well, I grew up in Pahokee. On the north side of the lake, you had MacArthur. And so you go MacArthur Dairy, you knew when you got close to it.
Yeah.
What I'm saying is no one on Keeley Farms up there in Sam Sula, New Smyrna area has got sick or died from milking her cows. And she probably has a head of like 30, maybe, and she's got like 12, 15 milk goats.
Not in this article. I have seen another article that it said that this bird flu would not be able to, I mean, your mom and pop backyard chicken egg deal you got going, it's not safe.
Right.
Even though you've got them in your backyard, the same 4 laying hens you've had for, years, they're no longer safe from H5N1. You've got to go get it from the Publix.
Yeah. But how are they going to get it?
I don't know.
No. How are they going to get it? Explain to me how, if you have an area that has no H5N1.
Right.
How are they magically?
A migrating bird could come there take
that,
a dump.
That truck at night that sprays for mosquitoes?
Uh-huh.
He's got a little H5N1 in
it. Just dip a little bit in here, a little bit in there.
And the other thing is that story I talked about on Saturday in Between the Ribs, you had to go all the way to the last page for the scientist who was at this meeting saying, hey, wait a minute, everybody. Why aren't we testing pigs? Pigs are the only ones that can transmit this to humans through, through lung and air and all that. Not one pig farm has been tested. And they're testing the cows and the goats and the chickens to scare everybody because those results are falsified like COVID deaths.
Right.
If they really went to pig farms and checked, and they're like, oh, wow, we checked all the pigs, and out of all the millions of pigs we have in America, less than 1%, don't worry, everybody, we're all going to be fine. But they don't want those numbers because those numbers will show that yes, H5N1 is real, but it's not a global pandemic.
I've never heard of a local a small farmer getting back in the mad cow scare or H1N1 or anything else. It's always some giant conglomerate that's got a recall 55,000 pounds of ground beef chubs.
Yes.
10 pound chubs.
Yeah, this story should actually be opposite because the last pork label that came out, the last pork recall that came out, it affected 119 labels. One recall. affected 119 labels, and all those labels were at all the grocery stores. You cannot trust those grocery stores. No.
You gonna hang out for a minute?
I will.
Let me
now.
Take a break here. When we return, imagine there's a lot of hand wringing and pearl clutching about toilet paper and the acres of trees and millions of trees. Well, those people don't understand. You know, they're replanted immediately, refreshed, and then, you know, they got to grow them again because you still need to wipe your ass. Well, an eco-friendly startup has started treeless toilet paper.
I don't want it.
We'll talk about it next. It's the Shannon Burke Show on the Florida Man Radio Network. Toilet paper wipes out thousands of acres of Canadian forest each year, and demand for it is growing.
And millions of anuses.
Yeah. So is the demand for a more sustainable alternative. I've always understood this to be a sustainable alternative. Yes, it does wipe out acres, but those acres are used specifically for this purpose, and they're replanted regularly and responsibly. But they say it's normally toilet paper made out of wood pulp in the U.S., generally sourced from Canada. Our toilet paper's Canadian, most of it. The most popular brands score an F on sustainability from the National Resource Defense Council. They're almost entirely from forest fiber. If you go to your Whole Foods or any of these, you know, there's more upscale type joints. They have a brand called Green Forest, Who Gives a Crap? And another company called Real Paper. So Real Paper uses bamboo instead of a tree pulp. Because bamboo is a grass, not a tree.
Oh, and it doesn't mind getting cut down. And
it's a plant that grows rather fast. When you cut it down, it regenerates from the same root structure. You can harvest every 3 years. It's the best sustainable source for high quality paper items. It's also, I have a cutting board made from bamboo, and the floors are made from bamboo.
Right.
It could be the miracle plant.
It could save us all.
Don't put it in your backyard, though, because about 4 or 5 years, you'll be regretting every second of it when you thought it was cool.
And then the machete action on that sucker.
No, a team of Mexicans. I tried a machete that I tried to take. I had three or four. They're supposed to be bunching. What do they call it? Well, they're not runners. They're bunching.
Right.
They don't really like run ridiculously, but when they say bunch, I got it in a pot that was probably 24 inches in diameter at the end of its life, and I had to get rid of it.
4 foot?
Oh, easily four, if not six. It had grown into the fence, pushing it over the neighbor's yard. I got it all removed, put up a new fence. So much sunlight came in to my office where my fish tank, my big tank is, that I had to change the filtration on it.
Oh, wow.
Because now it's getting, you know,
too much sun.
I had to put an ultraviolet filter on it to kill all the stuff that's growing for all the sun.
Wow.
But yeah, it was a pain in the ass for me, but apparently, you know.
Yeah, bamboo's like a sugar cane. It clusters. It gets wide. It keeps growing. And as the eyes, you know, germinate, you get more.
Right. Well, they see these startups, they're planning on, you know, Who Gives a Crap and Real Paper and Green Forest. They say, look, once these people realize how environmentally cleaner this product is, their hope is that these major companies will see this, and the people like Kimberly-Clark and P&G and other paper suppliers will not only invest, but one day just go, hey, we just want to buy the whole operation. And that's what startups aim to do, right?
Yeah. The whole question, though, is how does it feel downstairs?
Yeah,
like you can cut as much bamboo and create rolls of toilet paper, but what's the feel down there? Like, are people going to actually want to wipe something with that?
Hey, you better wipe with that brown paper towel you get from a.
It's like, you know, if I bought all natural toilet paper before, I guess green this or whatever, it's not the same.
It's not.
It's really, for me, it's not. It's nowhere you want to start skimping.
Mm-hmm. No.
Or you also ever buy the ones that don't have the core in them?
Yeah.
And then they, for some reason, they immediately like fall apart.
Right, right. They wobble on your little deal.
Oh, my goodness.
Kim has a different bathroom than I do. It's on a different side of the house because she's converted an entire bedroom to her closet, so she wants to be nearby. Right. And one incident we had a couple years ago when her brother was in town, and right when he was leaving town, he took a dump in her bathroom. And it was a major ordeal. We had to get guys snaking from the vent on the top.
Oh, wow.
We got guys snaking in from the clean out over here.
Really?
We pulled the toilet. Yeah, it was a nightmare.
From one dump?
Yes.
What did he drop?
I don't know, but he's a big dude.
Wow.
And so from that point on, Kim's decided in that bathroom is only single ply because she believes that the toilet paper has something to do with it.
Okay.
When we've been told that. There's no roots in the thing or whatever, but she just thinks that's it. So I don't.
I got a process. They'd be mad at my house. I am not green. I clean and I pull off. I fold over.
Yeah, I do. Yeah,
yeah. I use toilet paper.
Do you hit it back with a wet wipe?
I have a wet process. Yes.
A wet process?
Yeah, his is a hose he pulls through the window.
Yeah, Julian, pull the hose through there.
I like a clean
roll. Turn it all the way up to high.
Yeah, I believe.
He's got one of those brass nozzles on the
fireman's hose.
Yeah. I believe in keeping it clean, man.
I get that. And I'm the same way, but when it comes to the wet wipe, first, you've got, it doesn't replace toilet paper because you got to go back in there and dry it up.
Yes.
At the very minimum.
Yeah. No, yeah, yeah.
So you'd first hit it with a couple of roll
you
fall
over.
You
would say it for real. People are going to judge me really bad. Because when I got married to my wife, and she, the first time she saw me in the bathroom, she's like, what'd you just do? I was like, I don't know. It's just something I learned, and it works. So I wipe, and then I take clean toilet paper, and I spit on it. And then I wipe. And I get a nice clean
wipe.
Are
you kidding me?
Dude, have you ever pooped on a farm in the middle of nowhere and had to make sure you were clean? Don't judge me until you've been on 400,000 acres.
I proofread the paper. I don't need to go in there. Every time you spit in the paper, why not just dip it under the sink or get a wet wipe?
How much bacteria is in sink water?
The man's spit wipes.
It's in your spit.
Listen, you have to poop 400,000 acres from anything. You find ways to make sure you're clean and fresh. Yeah, it is what it is, bro. It's my body. My choice.
One of the biggest competitors to a sustainable toilet paper market? Bidets. Mm-hmm. They're worried about...
You're wasting the water.
That's what they say. It uses more water, therefore could be less eco-friendly in drought-stricken areas, but toilet paper is also the process uses a lot of water. Far more water is used in the process to make your toilet paper than it is squirted through your bidet.
How about we just leave it alone and let rear ends keep getting clean the old-fashioned way? Just leave it alone.
You're not a bidet guy. You sound like you might benefit from the bidet.
I don't have a bidet. But
you can get an add-on when it snaps right on your toilet. You tap it into the water system. There's got a button on the side. Folds down. Yep.
Really?
I don't have
that down the Home Depot.
I've tried a bidet, some hotels that I stayed in, and I'm like, that's not for me.
Yeah, I don't think I'd want that.
I thought at first it was especially just for women in their delicate area. And they're like, no.
What's the pressure on that?
You can crank it up.
I don't want to.
Adjustable.
Yeah. I want it down low.
Start with like 5 PSI. And,
that sounds way too high.
I'm talking about half
a PSI.
Depending, you want to dial in the spray pattern to a more tighter stream.
Mm. I'm good, bro.
He just wants that like the old fountain at the park where it just sprinkles over the top. Like,
yeah.
You got to get your lift real close to be any water on it.
I do not want.
The problem with that is.
I don't want any pressure up there.
It's no pressure, just like a spray, a vegetable sprayer on your.
Like washing in the shower?
Yeah. No more pressure than that.
All right.
It's not like shooting it in there like a. It's not like a gas power, 10 horsepower pressure.
The way your eyes lit up when you said it wasn't for me.
It wasn't for me because here's the reason it's not for me. Because you are, when you use a bidet, you are susceptible to whatever temperature the water may be. Oh. It's not preheated. If it's wintertime, you only turn the faucet off and it's cold. You hit that baby. It's, woo! How do you do? Boom.
I got you.
It's a wake-up call.
I got you. How does a bidet affect doo-doo bloom?
I don't think it would have any effect on it.
Does it have any negative effect on doo-doo bloom?
No, I don't think so.
Just curious.
And do you wipe before the bidet and then wipe again to dry off later? That's not saving any toilet paper. You can't just get out of there with just the bidet. Because
that'd be
you got a visual problem. You don't know how you're doing back there.
Yeah, I'm a wiper. I'll wipe. I'll wipe till I die.
3-4 times with the paper?
Yes.
Ooh, that's a lot.
I use paper. I don't get it's my area. So I have to live with it.
3-4 When do you go in with the spit wipe? Is it on 2 or
is it the final round?
Then the spit, then there's the dry.
Oh,
okay. Oh.
I always make, and then that way a little bit of spit makes sure there ain't nothing on it. It's clean, spotless. I may be a farmer, butcher, but I have hygiene. I am a clean individual. I got good feet, good hands and nails. I believe in hygiene. I mean, everything's cleaned up. I'm a nice gentleman. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. I'm sure. You like to be fresh.
Yes.
Like a lady.
Yes, I'm all man, but I'm a clean man.
Hygiene is A number one.
Yes. No streaks in the drawers. You know what I'm saying?
I heard people say you should use a wet wipe because if you're walking down the street and a dirt bird took a giant turd on your arm, you wouldn't be satisfied with just taking a dry napkin and wiping it clean. You'd probably want to go get a little bit of moisture on there and wash it off.
That, yes.
But your arm doesn't close like your butt crack does, you know, after you wipe it. So
right. I don't know. I guess I'm just from the generation of put spit on it, you'll be all right. You're like, hey, Dad, I fell off the swing set and I got a piece of steel going through my arm. I'll put a little dirt and some spit on it. You'll be all right.
Yeah.
So I needed a clean wipe.
Do you take toilet paper to the farm with you?
Yes.
You keep some out there?
Yes. I have a 5-gallon bucket. I have a lot of leftover thank you bags from like grocery stores. Mm-hmm. And I have and I sit on the bucket. I line the bucket with a plastic bag.
Just a bucket? Is there a seat on it? Or you just sit on the rim?
I line it with a plastic bag. I do my business. I tie the bag up, then properly dispose of the bag.
I told you, camping bucket.
Yeah, same thing. 5-gallon bucket will save your life when you've been working all day and you're tired and you got to take one instead of holding yourself up in the back of the truck.
Oh.
You just sit on the bucket, just take your time, pull your phone out, go through Facebook if you want to. Read the paper.
Are you backed up in some trees? Or are you right out in front of God and everybody?
Well, I normally do it at my back tire, so I can lean against my back tire like it's a toilet.
Oh,
tire.
Yeah, proper, like a proper toilet.
So I'm sitting there. Oh,
you got a way
nice.
To crack open the newspaper, or you got to lean back in there.
And normally I do it on the side of the truck that no one's going to sneak up on me at.
Yeah.
You know?
All right.
I'm a gentleman, man.
And you throw the bag in the trash.
Yes. Yeah. Or sometimes I light it on fire.
That might be better.
Yeah. Well, throw it in the bonfire.
Interesting to know. Interesting.
Meat sales are down this week at the shop.
We poop in buckets on the farm.
We wipe, though.
Hey, okay, let me ask you this. Would you rather just have me out there pooping all willy-nilly all over the farm?
No,
I am clean. I take pride in what I do, and I'm clean.
Now, a true naturalist would, because that is just fertilizing.
I work it into don't say that on the radio. Please dump that. Somebody will take that and be like,
I heard you by fertilizer.
Poops in his crop.
Place where they put poop. When's the last time you were in a library?
1991.
I'm not knocking libraries. The city of Winter Park just built a new one, and it's an architectural marvel, and it's massive. It's really a beautiful building. I drive by it every day on my way home. I haven't been in there yet. I mean, because I don't really find whatever I need. I either order a book if I want to buy it, keep it in my library at home if I need a book, or if I need research. You know, you really don't need much more than an internet connection to find out everything you need to know from a library.
Yeah. But I think my issue with libraries was when I did want to go in there and find a book, I'm like, okay, that book's, and then it would be checked out. I'm like, okay, then I'm just going to order off Amazon.
Right, right, yeah.
And that's what Amazon has done. They've ruined a lot of bookstores and stuff like that with that just thing.
I don't think libraries could survive just on kids, but I really feel like every child should learn the Dewey Decimal Process, going to the library, have that experience. I mean, I really do think they should.
Right, I agree.
You know, before they get phones and internet and Google, they can just look up the whole world. They should know what it's like to walk and look and use their eyes and count.
Right, hold a book in their hand. Hold a book. Yeah.
I really think, I hope libraries don't go away. Now, Amy takes the kids to the library every summer. They got one or two library days. They all have library cards. So as a family, we go. But I personally haven't been in one since I left middle school.
My buddy, Clavin, who is a master plumber, just order a toilet for one of his clients. It is a Toto MS90CUMFX01 2023 NKX2 Neorest.
Oh, smart. He got him the super Japanese toilet.
Yeah.
Well, that set him back.
$22,078.
No. Roll of toilet paper is $12.
Wow.
don't know, those things will play music for
those
you.
Those things warm it up for your butt in the morning. Got a fan, exhaust fan to take all the stank out, put a little perfume in
it. Got a mechanical arm that'll wipe you.
All but it has the built-in bidet in it.
Probably heated.
It knows your feeling, so it knows what type of relaxation music you might need that day.
Playing Jonathan's bowel movement music.
Hello, Colt Ford.
Libraries, they're increasingly, but they're decreasingly being used for their purpose, and they're still burgeoning and busy, especially with younger kids. But now more than ever, librarians are fed up that they feel like more like a security guard than an actual librarian. One librarian in Brooklyn said, "This isn't what I signed up for." What's going on in public libraries is not what they were intended for. It is that people are witnessing full-blown penetrative public sex, drug use. They're being subjected to sexual harassment, explosions of violence. Libraries, they used to be really quiet. You were shushed all the time. And
inside the library or
outside the library? Remember that one library that they finally tested?
Yeah, the meth in the vents.
Yeah, there was people using the library bathroom, locking it up and smoking their meth in there to the point where it was detectable in the air in that bathroom. Like you would get a little bit of meth just by taking a squirt, while you're looking for, an autobiography of Ben Franklin.
So the bad guys realize libraries are supposed to be safe places. There ain't no cops in them.
Right.
So we'll go there and do all our crime. So now we're going to have sheriff deputies and police officers in every library?
It's more homeless people know there's a place they can go.
Have penetratable sex.
Yeah. And because most, gas stations are going to run people off. Walmart's going to run people off. The library.
You hang out all day. I'm here reading the book.
So, remember there was a case back in the 90s where a homeless guy was going in there and hooking up on the internet and watching porn, and they had a big problem with it, and they went in and put filters on it. And he went to the file a case to get them and said, if this, it's a library, I should be able to access everything that's available in the public realm that's published, including and up to pornography. And he won his case.
Wow.
Yeah. The problem is this happens. Most of these things that are happening happen in close proximity to children. Parents come in when they first move to the area. The librarian in Brooklyn says they bring their kids in. They all get cards. They're very excited. Then you don't see them for a long time because they feel that it's not a safe environment. In one unprecedented recent case, a veteran Iowa librarian filed suit against her former Des Moines branch, asserting administrators ignored her complaints of chaos and even retaliated against her for speaking out. A string of incidents, including patrons masturbating to the porn at the computer terminals within feet of children, threatening her with violence after she rebuffed their advances. She was ignored by all of her administrators. She eventually quit her job for mental health reasons. And she said the challenges librarians are facing right now are off the charts. It's dangerous.
That's crazy. I mean, where else can we go?
You're there to help them navigate the Dewey Decimal System. Next thing you know, you're dealing with a heroin overdose in the fiction department. Some guy's getting his knob polished over in the science area.
Yeah, the poor kid's trying to get Clifford the Big Red Dog books out of there.
Man.
Who's on the horn over there?
You got Jim in Daytona.
Let's talk to Jim up in Daytona. Jim, thanks for holding, man. How are you? Jim. Hello, Jim. Jim?
Oh, Jim, we tried.
We lost you, Jim.
Jim put us on hold.
You got to shut the radio off, too.
A lot of these staffers don't get any training and stuff like that. And they're kind of on the front lines of the of this country's homeless crisis.
That's crazy. It's terrible. Because they're going to start quitting. Next thing you know, the cities are going to close them up.
One branch in Antioch, California just completely shut down after the employees complained of the unaddressed sex going on inside and outside the branch. Drug use as well as violence. They said we've all also had a drug activity and drug use both inside the library and on library property. People having sexual intercourse inside the library or on the property in full view of the patrons and the staff. We've even found bullet casings in the parking lot.
Wow. Public sex is against the law, so but up there, they're not arresting people anyway, right? They're low on crime up there. They don't.
I don't know about there. In Long Beach, they've had so many pleas for local politicians. Please help us, help us, help us. All this disruptive stuff going on. And their complaints ran the gamut from unclothed, nude patrons inside the location to fist fights in the aisles of the library to full-on sex in the library as well. Even here in Florida, 27-year-old Kristen Stark filmed at least four children inside a Tampa library bathroom, recorded himself masturbating at the branch. He's currently in jail waiting trial. In Nashville, a library is locked down after gunfire erupted inside the facility during a fight between some juveniles that were there. Nice. Man,
who knew the library was so gangster?
Yeah.
My gosh.
Yeah, it used to be just nerds went
yo,
there.
Yo, dog, I'm hanging out at the library tonight, dog.
What are you trying to do, dog? I'm trying to get smart, man.
I'm going to the library, dog.
Yeah, I'm going to have some sex.
Mm-hmm. Get some meth.
Got my girl and your mom down there.
Nashville Library, they said that one public library, Brent Dickerson, after the incident, a witness and a librarian said, you'd never think that, but we're living in a different time now. I don't know. It's certainly unbelievable.
Yeah. Have we no bounds?
People smoking pot inside the Boulder, Colorado location. That's the one where they had to close it down to clean the methamphetamine residue out of the bathrooms. The residue of methamphetamine was so intense that...
That's a lot of meth.
Yes, it was dangerous. It's like when you went over to your grandma that smoked cigarettes, and after she died, you took the picture off the wall, and it's nothing but brown. It's clean as it could be behind it.
That's crazy.
A library.
Like, where's the law enforcement presence? You know, at Lake Mary, they have two sheriff deputies at the library. Now, it may be because the library is between the high school and the middle school.
Well, okay, that makes sense.
They may be there to help, you know, with the kids hanging out, going through. But there's two deputies there every day. One outside the parking lot and one inside walking around.
In the library?
Yeah, and that library is on check. There ain't no foolishness in the Lake Mary Library. I don't know if every city in Seminole County is like that. I don't go to a lot of libraries. But, man, so now we got to forget the cops at schools. Now we got to start having cops at libraries.
This is the same time when libraries are kind of being... flashpoints of controversy because of the drag, you know, reading, the drag queen reading hour or whatever that's going on. All the books that they don't want to be available for people that are under 18. You know, it's...
All that stuff takes a back seat when you got people having full-on penetrative naked sex and smoking meth in the bathroom.
Right.
And really just, ain't worried about the drag queen right now. Let's get this under control first.
Mm. God. Libraries.
Right there next to the J.R.R. Tolkien books. Come on.
They still have that big thing in the library where you can scan the newspaper.
The microfiche?
Microfiche, yeah.
They still have those?
Some do, but the internet kind of replaced those.
That's too bad.
Yeah, I don't think anybody uses those anymore.
I'd like to.
You like to?
I'd like to give it a shot. I'm trying to learn technology. I figure that's a good starting point.
Yeah, Jonathan likes to be like a 1980s detective going in there in the dark of the microfiche rooms going through there.
Nice.
Hillary Clinton faced a list of radical demands from some anti-Israel protesters at her alma mater, Wellesley College. Student-run Instagram page named WC against HRC, Wellesley College against Hillary Rodham Clinton, posted a list of the demands during Clinton's visit this past weekend as protesters shouted at her. They say, we echo the demands of our alum. Students have been calling for the administration to recognize since November. Somehow they believe that Hillary could do this. They want Hillary to acknowledge the ongoing genocide in Gaza. Forced their college to divest from companies that are perpetuating Israeli occupation, and to cut all ties with the ADL.
Oh, that's bold.
I know that Hillary's, you know, even out of office, she probably has some stroke, but it's a list of demands. There's no, like, if you don't do this, we're going to do that, but...
No, it's always demands.
Right. We demand this, we demand that, we demand that.
Buy your ticket, listen to you talk.
There's always demands. Swift and decisive consequence for every reported incident of hate crime, harassment, slander, defamation, doxing, threats, and intimidation made against Palestinian advocacy. They want them to protect themselves as they protest. She went to campus to participate in a women-led democracy summit and mark a new college center being named after her. Imagine that. She's most the local paper there. The school paper circulated pamphlets around campus saying Clinton is Wellesley's most beloved war criminal.
Really?
Sadly, all the students were found dead in their sleep. They slipped on a bag of daggers in the hallway.
19 times.
I don't know. She's no stranger to being protested, but I don't know why you'd go to her to demand.
But is she pro Israel? She's pro Israel ally.
She's really been
on
nothing,
the fence
yeah.
about that.
Are
yeah.
they quiet on this? The Clintons quiet on what's going on over there right now?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, for the most part.
But they got some money tied up over there.
More than likely, yeah.
More than likely, because the money, you know, some people, you know, need that out of cover. All right, when we get back, you're going to hang out? We're going to we will do our remarks when we return from the Florida Man Radio app. Hang on. It's the Shannon Briggs Show on the Florida Man Radio Network. I got this audio on a play. This is a guy, he's a DJ. And he's used, I don't know if I have Kamala's version, but you remember Trump said,
I'm going to come.
And Kamala said, was telling potential migrants not to come, said, don't come. Well, this, we had put it together in a comedic way prior. This guy put it to music, and you should see the look on some of the girls on the dance floor's faces when he plays this. Look at these the girls. The look on some of these girls' faces over here is just hysterical. They're like,
I'm going to come. Oh, wow.
Oh, it's awesome. Awesome.
That's nice.
I
mean, that's how he said it to his wife right before it happens.
Probably. United Airlines is really taking a beating, man.
Yeah, they're going to have to donate some puppies or something like that. They need some goodwill right now.
It had to be diverted after a dog took a Duke on board. They literally had to divert the plane because of the poop. It was so disgusting. Dog had a messy accident in the aisle right next to first class, and they diverted. They started trying to clean it up for 2 hours. With paper towels. This one lady said the smell made me ill. Never quite went away. First class toilet was declared unusable because the dog mess was apparently unresolved in that area. Food went bad on the ground, so very few snacks left. They do allow some dogs on board. They got to fit in a carrier under the seat. And apparently this dog was not in their carrier. This guy said, I was on a flight once. There was a service dog. The flight was turbulent. The moment the flight landed and got into the gate and that exit door opened, that dog beat everyone off the plane and S'd all over the jetway.
That's a high-trained dog. Is there something to be said about the world we live in now where a doo-doo smell messes you up so bad? Like, you just can't be like, hey, man, sorry about the smell, but it's just doo-doo.
Man, it's awful. It's terrible. And it's, you're in a tube. There's no fresh air in there. It's nothing but doo-doo blowing down on you.
They were diverting flights in
1987. I don't know if they let dogs on there.
If there was dog duty. Well, also 1987, you could smoke a cigarette to cover up the smell of dog.
Yeah.
Dog doo-doo. So I wonder if the guy who let his dog out of the crate has to pay for all that.
Oh, I don't know. They say that the people that cleaned it up were wearing hazmat suits.
Come on. man, our world can be horrible.
I pick up more dog poop than most people.
That's your guy.
We're getting ready to, that guy went out of business. I wouldn't produce enough poop, and I got four dogs. I got a new guy. We're going to try to negotiate some terms.
Mr. Burke, we have a dog poop memorandum. You're not producing enough dog poop.
Trust me, I'm producing enough. And the smell is just. It, you know, you get a little, you know, I'm cutting the grass. I miss a pile. I step in it and
hit it with the mower and spread it.
Well, I guess so. And in essence, yeah, but I just go to the hose, and just hose it off. It's just so disgusting. Let's get these remarks underway here. From the Florida Man radio app, powered by Morris Family Farms and Organic Meats. Tons of archives, commercial-free podcasts are available there all over the place. And you can text the show, call the show, and send us a remark. Here we go.
Hey, so for the gamer guy, you got to be deliberate, bro. You got to be deliberate in making time. Make time with your family and stuff like that. That's the only way you're going to get past the addiction to the game. You got to be deliberate in doing other stuff, deliberate in avoiding situations where you give in to your impulses of playing a game. I'm a gamer myself, but I don't play as often as I used to. Nowhere near that. You just got to be deliberate.
Deliberate. Yes. Gamers.
Hey, Shannon, I was born into the Jehovah's Witness religion. I left at the age of 43. I am 53, so 10 years ago, basically. Family, friends, everybody that I knew in that religion shunned me. So pretty much life started over at that time. And I'm doing great now. It's no big deal at this point. But for a lot of people, it can be very, very hard. That's what that religion does.
Yeah, getting out of this is like getting out of Scientology, I understand.
You ever see one of them pictures, and the more you look at it, the more you start seeing in the background? I don't think I painted a good picture for you guys. Joe Biden was standing behind Diddy in a pair of yellow stained whitey tighties. He's holding his German Shepherd from biting little Bieber that was in a ball gag on all fours while Will Smith whipped him with a peacock feather. Nancy Pelosi and DJ Khaled were making it rain hundreds down on Hunter Biden. He's snorting a line off of AOC's desk.
Shannon, this is Elephant Man here. Just letting you know that I'll be calling in periodically to talk about current events, the upcoming election.
All right, I love that. Thank you.
Tunde Tuna, Jonathan Morris on the street, Suge Knight, Jonathan Morris on the farm, Barry White. Man, stop feeding your people crap. Get good food. Meat, produce, get it from Morris Family Farms, Morganic Meats. I do every month. It's awesome.
Thank you, Todd.
Endorsement.
I love this conversation that we're having about farming. I was born in a very rural area of Mississippi, and it was only three streets, and most things we traded, like eggs, and then we kept newspapers for that lady, don't remember why. But we did, and then another lady made pies, and we got tomatoes exchanged, and we rode horses, and it was amazing and perfect, really very, very beautiful. And one more little quick thing, I still shop like that. I go out of my way to hit an Italian deli, and the bread that I like, and you know, I do that. I love doing that, actually, building relationships and knowing what you're getting also. But you have to love cooking. That's big.
Thank you, Kate.
Develop important relationships.
Thank you, Kate.
Hey, Jonathan. Easy, Shannon. This is Tim from Fort Walton Beach. Actually living in Crestview now. Anyway, Jonathan, when are you coming to Fort Walton Beach, and when is the last day I can put in an order for about five of those tomahawks? Appreciate you guys. Love you. Listen every day.
Thank you, Tim.
I'll be there this Saturday.
With your tomahawks.
Hey, Nezzy guy, I got a dumb question because I'm a dumb person. Well, whatever. I click on Listen Live Emerald Coast, but it's totally different than your website, and I see no microphone no matter what I do. So I know I'm doing something wrong. Could you explain to me what I am doing wrong? Love the show. Love all y'all. Thank you very much. Beedoo beedoo.
You had to leave your open mic from the front page. What the Central Florida's back up and running, so
yeah.
But even if you listen on the Emerald Coast, your open mic, your remark needs to be left from the original page. The page that opens up when you hit the mic.
If you're looking at the app, it's going to say the bottom is the microphone, the play button, that bottom toolbar is going to be all that stuff. In the middle, right below the news, is going to be, I think it says Central Florida and Emerald Coast. If you hit the Emerald Coast one, you're going to get that feed the moment you push that button.
Yeah.
Me? I know who I am. I'm a dude playing a dude disguised as another dude.
Hey, there's a guy too. That's what I wanted to say. I saw a thing today that, normal white toilet paper is really bad. It's been bleached to make it white, and then it has formaldehyde to do whatever. But you're touching your butthole, and that is the most susceptible thing on your body. Beedle-beedle.
So with the concerns over the sustainability of toilet paper, are we going to go to, like, Demolition Man when they had three shells? Because I'll be honest, I still have no idea how the hell that worked.
Three what?
The three seashells.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, man. Super Dave in Panama City Beach here. Listen, bamboo toilet paper or not, tree toilet paper or not, we all need to start the trend of a bidet. If you've never had a nice streaming stream of water right on your beehole, damn, it's good. Just saying, that's a trend for you. Beedle-beedle.
Apparently it's a nice, favorable experience, yeah.
Speaking of toilet paper, that used to be one of my favorite comebacks to somebody. I'm like, dude, you haven't had a piece of ass since the last time your finger broke through the toilet paper.
Oh, boy.
Beedle-beedle. Yeah.
Hey, Jonathan Morris, dude. You're my man, dude. Alabama wet wipe, be do freaking be do.
Yes, sir.
Alabama wet wipe, huh?
The only problem about using that bamboo toilet paper is it attracts a lot of pandas.
All right.
I know, nails a guy a third time. I'm very sorry. But, Jonathan, I'm sure you've got those problems with your butthole, because I've worked my ass off all these last million years. But no, get a tushy for your toilet. You will absolutely love it. You will never have butt itch or nothing else. Beater, beater.
I don't have.
Sorry, guys.
I don't know what that means. A tushy.
I think it's a type of bidet.
A brand of bidet.
I don't have butt itch, just for the record.
Thanks.
Glad you cleared that up.
I avoided the bidet for a long time, but when I got older and I had to have a colonoscopy and I had ended up giving myself a hemorrhoid because I was wiping too hard, I bought one. And you know what? That is amazing. I don't know why I resisted so long.
Really?
Just like online banking. I don't get it. But I love it.
Hey, Shannon. I believe Jonathan deserves a golden sticker on his robe.
I don't know.
If you lick your lips, you're going to have chapped lips. If you lick your butt, you're going to have a chapped butt. And I think I'm having tofu for dinner tonight.
Enjoy.
Have fun, buddy. I got your shirt, by the way.
Jonathan said penetratable six, and I've been throwing up in my mouth ever since.
Nice.
Toilet paper sucks. Bidets rule. Beedle-beedle.
Hey, Shannon. Hey, about 10, 15 years ago, for my job, used to have to go down to the City of Orlando Library. And, you know, you try to get down there 10 o'clock when they open, and you're talking about a bum rush. There are about 25 people hanging outside. They open the door, and they all go scrambling up the steps to the second, third floor, and they find them a spot to hang out all day. Beedle-beedle.
Yeah, I probably would, too, if I was homeless.
Yeah, I probably would.
I think they're blowing the children and the libraries out of proportion. I mean, the kids were obviously studying chemistry with meth, and they were studying anatomy with the sex thing. I don't see anything wrong with it.
I heard a guy on the radio a little while ago that said that AOC has AIDS. Can you confirm that?
No, I won't even entertain that.
All right, Shannon, can you please explain why you have two boner ads that sound like the same place.
Are they?
But
they're
the same place. Different names.
They're branching out. The Erection Clinic?
Yeah, it was Men's Health Clinic, and they've changed to the Erection Clinic.
They're just going right for the real, you know.
Yeah, they're letting you know. Yeah. I think you can do both there.
Yeah.
A couple ways Hillary can respond to those students with their demands is to tell them that she has a copy of the Quran right next to the hot sauce in her purse. And also, on numerous occasions, Bill requested Israeli girls when he went to Epstein Island.
Wow, I didn't know that.
Your poop 911 guy probably went out of business because he was spending so much time cleaning up all your dog's messes. Didn't have time to cultivate more business. Probably quoted you a little too cheaply, too.
I had two. He picked up twice a week. Once like on a Tuesday and then once on Friday so I could hang out in the pool without having to smell dog dew everywhere. You know?
I think we all underestimate the value of libraries. Think how easy it is for them to censor us by just taking out hard drives in a methodical way on servers and changing all that information just by re-imaging. It's way too easy. To change books, man, that's a huge undertaking.
True.
I know it's dorky.
No.
Those libraries, though.
I believe it. And if you can find an old 60s, maybe 70s version of a set of Encyclopedia Britannica, buy it. Because the history in that encyclopedia may not be the same as we're hearing in 2024.
Wow. What's up, boys? Calling Atlanta. I was also raised a Jehovah's Witness. Not all that bad. I do know some family members that have shunned their own children. It's pretty pathetic. I never got baptized, nor did my brother. My mother was always very supportive of us, so was my father. But they're being more lenient these days. They're letting the dudes grow beards, and they actually had a talk about not shunning people.
We're running out of people. It's time to stop shunning them all.
Let's not shun them. Maybe they'll come back.
Looky there. Now I don't have to pay to have my butthole bleached. The toilet paper will do it for me. Be-doo-be-doo.
That was a trend in the early 2000s.
The BH bleach?
BH bleach for people that, I guess, had their BH on display, wanted it to look good. I don't know.
I mean, if it's super dark, you want to have a lighter one.
Yeah.
You really want to match your skin tone.
Okay, so look, it goes like this. You got your left hand, and you can scoop it out your butt cheeks with it. Or you can use some bleach wood, and minus the bark, wipe it out between your butt cheeks with that. Or grab you some poison ivy.
Hey, it's anal guy here. All this toilet paper talk.
That guy from Crestview asking about the meat box sounded just like RFK.
Maybe.
I am Conjolio. I need TP for my bunghole. Come out with your pants down. Be-doo, be-doo.
Wild bunch today.
On the app with the iPhone anyway, once you hit the Emerald Coast feed, it opens up in a browser, so it takes you away from the app. It doesn't play through the app. That's probably why Nasal Guy was having some difficulty, I would think, because then the open mic isn't available in the browser.
Yes.
From the Emerald Coast stream.
I know that.
That helps.
All right, don't be a hater, but while we're all hating on the app here, when I clicked on listen to Fort Walton Beach feed, it tries to open a browser in my phone. It doesn't give me a new feed through the app. And I also tried on a desktop yesterday while the app was down, and I tried on two different browsers, and I still couldn't get a live feed from you guys.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Just throwing it out there.
When the Central Florida side is having an issue, which lately has been very few and far between, go to the Fort Walton Beach feed. Yes, it opens up a browser. I'm sorry to let you down, but you want to hear the show and you don't want to hear the effing show. I don't know. It opens up a trying to open up a browser on me. I don't know about it. I'm not. Yes, it's open. When you go to the website and the Central Florida feed are affected by the one company, the when it opens up a browser for the Fort Walton Beach feed, you could get the show that way, not from an app. That's what happens when the app goes down. You go to the browser. Jesus.
I ain't going to no browser, man. I get my stuff from apps. I ain't messing around with browsers. But you get infected on your phone, a virus deal on it.
The president in chief knows what the three seashells are for. And they are for sniffing little kids.
What is a seashell thing? Do they clean their rear with a seashell?
Yeah. It's in the bathroom. And he was like, well, there's no toilet paper. And like, oh, he doesn't know how to use three seashells. So he just yells curse words until he gets enough fines to wipe his ass with.
Oh, I watched the show. Remember that show used to be called Extreme Cheapskates?
Yes.
This one lady would not buy toilet paper. She would instead use old, when the old towel or hand towel would be retired, she would tear them into small pieces and keep a stack of these towels in her next to her toilet, and next to that a little trash bucket, and she'd wipe with a terry cloth piece of a thing. And then deposit it in the trash thing and to wash it to use again later.
No, there's some places that's a thing now. I don't know how, but like public places, but you literally detach. It's like the napkins stack in a rack now where you pull them out.
Sea folds.
And they're basically terry cloths. And you pull it out, you wipe, and you toss it in it's got like a Velcro piece to it. You Velcro it up, you throw it in the trash bin, and then they continue, and then the company comes by and replaces them.
It's just like the cloth baby diapers, you know, in that service. They do suggest you try to get as much of the turd out of it before you wrap it up and throw it in the bag.
Yeah. You got to give it a little shake.
That's nasty.
So I missed part of the show. So these open mics to me sounding kind of gay.
Shando, here's how to take care of the dog poop. Dig a small hole, take a 5-gallon bucket. You can get one at Home Depot with a lid on it. Drill holes in the bottom of it. Bury it up to the neck where you can still put the lid on. Mm-hmm. Every day when you go out, you get your coffee, take a bag, scooper, whatever, pick up the dog poop, throw the bag in that bucket. The end of the week, take that bucket, dump in the trash can. You don't have to worry about it again.
I'm not keeping a week's worth of doo-doo in a
you don't want a poo well in your yard?
I pick it up. I put it in a bag. I take it right to the trash.
I don't know if it's going to take how to make a landfill like a drain field for it.
I have seen, though, where these are things that are buried to the ground. They're a little bit bigger. They're made out of metal, and they've got like a manhole cover, and they're filled with holes, and they're a lot bigger so that naturally degrades and goes into the ground.
It's just like a dog septic tank for your yard, though.
Yeah.
You exactly just teach the dog to poop with a bucket.
Yeah.
I actually grew up in an atheist household, and they disowned me when I started listening to Charlemagne the God.
Apps down, buttholes.
No, it's not. You're just not smart.
God damn it, just listen to the app. If it doesn't work in one, try the other. Damn it. Baidu.
Not going to listen to another nasal guy. Sorry, buddy. That will be 5 or 4. Why can't people play by the rules?
Yeah, Shannon, up here in New Jersey, I tune on 103.5 on the regular radio and you don't show up. What the hell, man?
It's 103.1, actually. And those are the remarks for today's show. You can never please everybody in this business, you know?
I see there is no pleasing you.
Me?
No, all of
them.
Yeah.
I mean...
some people have to have something to grab about.
I know that... Yeah, no. I know that the sometimes, far less than ever before, this is the first app outage we've had, and I don't know how long.
A little bit.
And I get it when it's down. Someone tells me, and I don't need 11 mother efforts to tell me. I know it. And far more than that, I ain't got dick to do with it.
And there was nothing we could do about it.
Wait, you
because the company, the company that we work with all decided to go outside and look at the solar eclipse, and we couldn't get them back in there fixing it in time.
Those are all the apps. Those are all the remarks for today's show. Thank you for leaving them, even though some of them are repetitive. We're going to take a last break here. We'll come back to wrap it up for you. It's the Shannon Burke Show on the Florida Man Radio Network. An American woman is found dead in Spain over the weekend, and authorities there believe that her death was the result of an extreme sexual encounter gone terribly wrong. The body of a 44-year-old woman has not been named. found in an apartment in the Plaza Enrique Garcia Herrera de la Malaga, La Lopeña de la Malaga. The victim's 50-year-old husband, who's also American, was arrested in connection with the death. Police believe occurred accidentally in an intimate context. It was initially investigated as a gender-based violence. Why was that?
He choked her.
Oh. But was upgraded to homicide due to evidence indicating extreme risky sexual behavior.
Yeah. He choked her.
On purpose or just in the heat of the moment?
Well, that's why the first way was that he choked her like in a violence in a domestic dispute.
Threesome gone wrong?
But it wasn't. She liked to be choked or yeah. It was just rough sex.
But maybe she liked the Spaniard dude too much. The threesome went bad. The husband got mad.
We don't know that there was a threesome.
It
was
I thought you said violent sex. And it was three of them, a husband, a wife.
Violent sex. You can be violent one person on another.
Oh, I thought there was a Spaniard involved plus the American couple.
No, just Americans. Just them on vacation. They had some extreme sex, and he's now being held without bail. It's like the lead singer of NXS and who have done that asphyxiation. They choke themselves while they rub one out. It's supposed to be outstanding.
David Carradine.
Yes, him too. I'm not going to try it.
He thrilled himself but killed himself.
Hey, the thrill is the kill. Fort Walton Beach.
Thanks for hanging in, brother. Jonathan Morris, Morris Family Farms, Fort Walton Beach this Saturday, beach weekend. Thank you, EZ.
Thank you.
Thank you, Heather.
Thank you.
We are back tomorrow, 2 Eastern, 1 Central. We begin the day with Bubba the Love Sponge, an American treasure hooked on pharmaceuticals with at least 2 guns on his person at any given time. After that, it's the Don Miller Show, hysterically funny. We'll see you tomorrow on the Florida Man Radio Network. I'm Shannon Burke. Have a good night.